The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk. Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Ian Lee's Late Night Alternative New Year's Eve Party on Talk Radio.
It's slower than I remember. It's slow. I'm a man, yes I am. That's a better song than I remember it being, actually. Wow. Instead of, unfortunately, as you may have heard, Kath has died. But we've managed to reanimate Satchmo. So that's happening. Who'd have thought, right, that in the year of our Lord 2018, Christmas would be dominated by Bross? Who'd have thunk it? That Christmas, everyone's saying, like, have you seen the Bross documentary? And I'm thinking, no, of course not.
Among my friends, it's how many times have you seen the Bross documentary?
Have you seen them? No, I've not seen it. I've not, because I'm not going to watch a Bross documentary. It sounds crap. And then, as my children fell asleep after having an all-nighter, more on that later, I fell asleep in my lap at 7 o'clock while we were watching the crappy Pirates film. I thought, well, I'll watch the first 5 minutes of the Bross documentary. My God, it's a masterpiece. It's Spinal Tap meets that Metallica film, which is an insane movie, divided by insanity. My God! If you've not seen, me and Kath were just watching it for the second time tonight. It's amazing! What a movie! And I'm thrilled to say, remind me of the director's name, it's Joe Perlman, the director of the Bross documentary, is coming on the show one night this week, maybe next week. We're watching it, honestly, we're watching it. We got here early because all the streets in London are closed off to rip off tourists.
People were already standing next to the river, right, on one of the bridges. Was it the
Lambeth Bridge?
We drove
past it at 7 o'clock, and that's 5 hours until midnight. People were stood there.
Bagsy's standing here.
Bagsy, this is my spot to stand for the next 5 hours so I can watch some pretty lights. What the heck? So we came in and we went and got some food. So then we came back and we said, well, there's nothing on telly. Let's watch the Bross documentary, shall we? Let's watch the Bross documentary. And we watched it. I said, well, I saw the director from that tweeting the other day. Why don't we see if we can get him on the show? And so Kath sent him a tweet. 2 minutes later, she went, oh, he's following me. I'll send him a DM. DMs were exchanged. But long and short of it is, he said, yeah, sure, when do you want? Can't do it tonight. When do you want? So he's coming on this week to talk about what has got to be. If you've not seen it, I cannot stress how amazing it is. I mean, it's I think it's real.
I think it's real.
Oh, it's real. I'm so dumb. I couldn't work out why everyone was hashtagging Conkers, and then I saw it again. I went, oh, Conkers. It's incredible. Here's someone who will have seen it. Alan Caddick, did you watch the Bross documentary?
About New Year's Eve party.
Yeah, I'm not asking, are you watching the Bross documentary now, you absolute melt? I'm asking, did you watch it over the Christmas period?
And I'm going to catch up on iPlayer.
Well, you make sure you do that, boy.
I will.
Anything else?
Like I say, I'm at a New Year's Eve party. And I'm about to call
the
lady that's my number.
Okay, I didn't understand a word of that. Tonight's show is... Okay.
The high score is...
I've only been in Kath's company for 3 hours and already she's getting on my tits. Tonight's show is our third annual late night alternative New Year's Eve party for people that don't like New Year's Eve parties. So we just happen to be on as we slip into another year, but we ain't going to make a big deal of it because I don't like New Year's.
I'm not bothered.
I've never really dug it. We've got Matthew on the phone. So good evening, Matthew. Nice to have you with us. So if you call up, very simple, you'll speak to Matthew. He'll take your name and number, give you a call straight back. Simple as that. The phone number is 03444991000. We've got some games here. We've got the Family Fortunes thing. Hang on a minute. Okay, we've got Family Fortunes. We've got, which my sister got me for a pound for Christmas, the Chase. The Chase board game. I won the Chase. I don't know if you saw it. I won it.
Come on.
I got some Christmas crackers because I'm going to do that. We bought for $1.99 Blockbusters. But then it says on the front, the Gold Run, not included is available separately as a card game. So that sucks, a fat one. But we can play that. And you brought some things with you.
Yeah, I've got the February 2019 edition of Chat, It's Fate.
There we go.
The first of what I'm hoping will be 12 volumes of supernatural fun.
It's your Christmas present from me.
Just reading the front, magic saved our sex life. A voice made me leave my hubby so I could be a star. Yeah. Tarot cards revealed I had a deadly secret. Small letters just in time.
You found, and in there are some porno actors that are also psychic.
From Birmingham, yeah, so I've started following them on Twitter.
But wow. So we're going to try and get some porno actors who are psychics on the show. I mean, really, the guest list is already shaping up to be epic in 2019.
So good.
You know what I mean? No. I feel like singing. Hang on a what do you want me to sing, Jack? Give me a song, any song, and I will sing it for you now, because I'm in that kind of vibe.
The Lion King.
The Lion King. The whole thing? God damn it, why the hell not? Okay, here's The Lion King for Jack. Here we go. It's The Lion King for Jack. Happy, 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 happy Jack. Yeah, yeah, Lion King.
You know this one.
Yeah, yeah. It's the Lion King. Suitably at one with your body and the sun. Yes, you are. You've wrecked Karl Marx and you've taught yourself to dance. Who's by far? But you keep asking the question. Oh, the one that you're not supposed to mention. When will I be famous?
I can't answer.
Yeah.
I can't answer that.
I said, when will I see my picture in the papers?
I can't answer that.
When will I be famous? You keep asking me, baby. Baby, you're a slave to fashion and your life is full of passion. It's the way you are. You suffered for your art with your jogging in the park. What? Should go. Shut up, Jack. But you keep asking the question.
Which question?
The one that you're not supposed to mention.
What, have you farted?
No, it's not. You ruined the vibe. You're a vibe killer.
Oh,
sorry, Jack. The Lion King was ruined there by the Lion Queen.
Ian Lee's Late Night Alternative New Year's Eve Party on Talk Radio.
Ooh! 03444991000 is the phone number. If you're expecting, like, a decent show... Listen, I know we're award-winning, life-saving, front-page, headline-garnering... show, but I promise you that we will continue to do the most shoddy, laid-back, lazy shows we can.
Are we going to plan any meltdowns, tragic comic-wise?
Jemima, you know the guy that played Chris just before Christmas? I've got to pay him. He sent an invoice in, and we owe him, otherwise he's going to go public, so that could get heavy. I did an interview with New Zealander. I can't say it in a New Zealand accent. New Zealand radio last night. Very lovely lady. Sorry, that sounded patronising. A really lovely presenter called Liz. That is the drive. I was on the Drive Time show, and at the end of it, she dropped an S-bomb, and I went, "Whoa!" She said, "What's wrong?" I said, I forgot.
How could you tell? It sounds like they're saying shut.
Shut. You saved his shut. He lost his shut, and you saved it. And I was like, oh, wow, I'd forgotten that in New Zealand, they are allowed... The phones have gone mental. They are allowed to swear on the radio. I don't know about the C-bomb, but everything else, I think, pretty much goes.
The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
Let's go to DJ Opsy. Good evening, DJ.
Hey, guys. How you doing, party people? Happy New Year.
Well... After Brexit, you won't be allowed over here.
Okay, so the leaders are going in.
Hey!
Okay, put your hands up.
Hands are in the air!
Come on, guys, come on!
Here we go!
Hey, baby!
Ooh!
Ah!
I gotta know if you're touching my walls.
Hey, Happy New Year!
No, you're sounding more and more like Mario.
Hey, what's going on there now? It's a Mario!
It's my Austrian accent, man. It's been a long time since we speak, and I've been spending time in the Alpine region.
Alpine regions!
You know what I did today, guys?
Hang on. Is it New Year's in the Alpine regions yet, or not yet?
Oh, no, we got one more hour. In fact, no, wait a second. No, we got half an hour to go, man, before we're going to be celebrating the New Year in the Alpine regions. The way we do that is we strip it in the naked, eh? And we get in the snow, man.
Hey! Hey, baby! Ha! I wanna know if you'll touch my bum.
Hey, listen, do you wanna talk about Brexit?
Not really, DJ Otsino.
No, okay, I was only teasing, man. Of course we're not gonna speak about Brexit.
That's a relief.
My. Like I'm at my concert, you need to come along, Ian. Do you remember when we got together?
In Vienna, wasn't it?
We were in Vienna together, and you said to me,
"Yeah."
You said, "We got to write a song, man."
Yes, I did, mate.
And I said, "I can't do it."
No.
I cannot write a song, but if you got a song that we can cover, we're going to make some millions. Sweet Ian Lee. He is the best guy on the radio.
DJ Otsy.
Oh, baby, come
does
on.
The best cover versions of the hits.
Hey,
yep.
What are you guys using over there, guys?
No, we're not using anything tonight.
Wait, what are you using over there, guys?
We're not using anything. We're not using anything. Nothing. We are clean.
That's a disappointment, guys.
We're using the Bible. He's gone. He's hung up there because we didn't have any drugs to offer him. That's it.
We're using the vibe.
I've forgotten how ridiculous this show is.
We get
paid for this.
That's silly.
We'll take a little break. We'll hear from one of our colleagues. And then we'll be back. I'm not going to give out the number because the switchboard is pretty much rammed. If you know it, you can give it a try. This is the Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee and Catherine Boyle.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Ian Lee's Late Night Alternative, New Year's Eve Party on Talk Radio.
This one!
Pick a line, Kath, any line between 1 and 11.
8.
But not 2, 3, 8, 9 or 10.
Okay.
See, I could have faked
7.
It. You're on slide 7. Say hello to Michelle.
Hello, Michelle.
Hello, you're right.
You're lucky number 7.
Oh, Michelle's a bit giggly. Someone's tickling her foo-foo.
No, I can't follow DJ Otsy, honestly. That's made my night, that has.
We can't have peaked at 10:30. We've got another 2.5 hours,
happened
I think,
before.
Of this rubbish.
Maybe I can give...
Hang on a minute. I do apologise for Catherine.
I'm sorry, it's a trigger.
I know it is. She was hypnotised as a teenager,
Catherine,
and she.
That was my big chance there, and you just.
And she ruined
it.
She swallowed your big chance. And Michelle.
That was it.
Catherine and I are going to sit back. We're going to put our fingers on lips.
No, I don't know anymore. Please don't.
We want to hear that with the.
Don't trigger a bum bum do
what? Michelle, over to you. Fingers on lips, Catherine.
I owe you nothing. Nothing at all.
Excellent.
Did you watch the film that everybody's talking about?
I did. Oh my god, I did. And wow. It was like I couldn't tell if it was a bit of a parody. No. It felt a bit like The Office. You know the way he was pointing to the portrait of the dog with the pipe.
Yeah, yeah. I've met Matt since, because Matt Goss is a friend of James's, James Wales, grumpy James, miserable James Wales.
Oh, really?
He sucks the vibe out of the studio. And he was in a few weeks ago, and I said hello to him, but I remembered I interviewed Matt Goss on Radio 4 a long time ago, maybe 12, 13 years ago. And it didn't go well. I've not got the audio of it. I'd love to hear the audio of it.
Because, you can see why it didn't go well now, well, can't you? Because they're so intense.
I did a little, as part of a big show, it was part of Loose Ends, which is like a magazine show. I think Kiri Takanawa was on there. It was hosted by Ned Sherrin at the time. And I had to interview Matt Goss. And I did written this lovely little introduction about, you know, in the 80s, Bross, you know, encouraged young girls to put Grolsch bottle tops on their boots. And after the introduction, he turned to his manager, who was on the other side of the glass, and mouthed, "That is the worst introduction I've ever had in my life."
Oh, my God.
And I'm sat there thinking, wow, we've got 4.5 minutes together in each other's company. And I did think to myself, I'm not going to mention your new single until right at the very end. It was childish of me, Matt. If you're listening, I apologise.
No, it wasn't.
But if anyone's got that interview, I'll play it out tonight. I want to hear that. I want to find
that. I didn't realise how, like... For me, I was new kids on the block. Sorry, Kath, I was new kids on the block.
Oh, I wasn't Bross, I was Aha.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
But, so, sort of, Bross, to me, were like, I just thought they were another manufactured band, and then seeing him playing drums and stuff. And,
he's a great drummer!
Know, he's like, let me just do my craft. Yeah, but to me, they were like, they were a joke band a bit.
I must admit, I was not a fan, and I found, you know, I was a musical purist. I was into the Monkees, for God's sake. And I found them very irritating. I found them everything that was wrong with British pop music at the time. But then I was like a 13, 14-year-old boy. So they weren't designed for me. But I think Luke is an incredible drummer. He certainly has a lot of drums.
Some 13, 14-year-old boys, I suspect.
Hang on a minute. We're in trouble here, Michelle. I've just broken the dump button.
So don't swear.
Well, hang on a minute. There we go. I fixed it. Fix the dump button. There we go.
Heard it.
Well, you heard it, the saps at home won't have a clue what's going on.
I phoned you to tell me, because I already know.
Yes.
But I phoned you to tell you about the worst Christmas day this year.
Oh, was it yours?
Yeah.
Oh, mate, go on, what happened?
Do you know what? To be fair, Ian, there are people who'd have had worse, but we got broken two Christmas nights.
Oh, no!
And they didn't take anything but my car keys, my husband's car keys, and my mum and dad, who were staying over for Christmas, their car keys, and they took our three cars. Yep.
Did they? Well, hang on a second. Okay, that's bad. But they didn't take any of the presents.
Do you know what, Ian? They left... I mean, I'm not rich by any stretch, but they left laptops. My kids had all their Christmas money in a mug.
That's actually quite noble. I've got a lot of respect for these guys.
I'm not going to describe them as noble.
I think they're gentlemen.
I think they're scumbags.
They could have taken a poo on the turkey.
They were in and out within a minute. They just went, dum, 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 nicked
the cars. What? The police, bless the police, they could only visit us yesterday. That was the earliest they
could. That's Thatcher's Britain for you. Because all these bloody immigrants coming over. That's why. I can't wait for Brexit. Oh, and then we'll have the police around before the crimes happen.
You know,
and if you're a black person, the police be doing the crimes to you!
I hung up when you had the racist on, because I just can't follow a racist.
Catherine is still here.
Hey, come on.
Then. So that happened.
Oh, mate, I'm sorry. That's lousy.
That's all right, man. Because the police said, you know what? They'd have been armed to the teeth and they would have hurt you if you'd have tried to interrupt them.
Ian Lee's Late Night Alternative New Year's Eve Party on Talk Radio.
Good evening, dear listener. The Late Night Alternative New Year's Eve Party for people that hate New Year's Eve. My name is Ian Lee. Who the hell are you, lady?
Tonight, I'm going to be Catherine Boyle.
I missed you, Boyle. I miss you because I had to go make my own coffees. Outrageous. All right, I know you had a good Christmas, so I'm not going to do a fake conversation.
Yeah.
We've discussed our Christmas. Mine was, Christmas Eve was on my own, and it was kind of nice, me and the cats. Christmas Day was at my sister's, and it was wicked. I got very teary at the end, and I drove home. I got, two albums that have been recommended to me by listeners. One was Bert Janch, never sure how you pronounce it, was soft or hard J, L.A. Turnaround. The other one was Nick Jones, Penguin Eggs. Well, let's just say the Bert Janch one isn't ever going to get played again.
Oh.
But the Nick Jones, Penguin Eggs, my God. My God, it was amazing. What's the name of the lady from Rising Damp?
Miss Jones.
My God, Miss Jones, that was an amazing fellatio. He's an African prince. Bit racist, Rising Damp, I think.
A little.
My God, Miss Jones. That was it!
I found him really creepy.
Oh, my God, Miss Jones. The Nick Jones album was amazing.
He was supposed to be creepy, though, wasn't he?
Well...
No.
I'm not going to say it.
Yeah, but he was supposed to be creepy. Yes. That was a character.
My name is Jones. The Nick Jones is great.
I'd cover my keyhole.
What?
If I was Miss Jones.
Nick Jones is going to come on the show. It's another guest we've got lined up. Nick Jones is coming on the show. He lives miles away. He's getting on a bit and he's not particularly well. But I've been invited by his family to go down and stay one weekend. So I'm going to gen up on him and go and stay and have a chat with him. Because penguin eggs. Wow. It's English folk, which I don't really like as a genre. I struggle with it. But he does. He just kind of nudges it somewhere else. And his guitar playing and his voice, dear God. To God, it's amazing. So then Christmas Boxing Day, I had the boys for three nights, and then the 27th, my sister and her kids came and stayed over, and I said to the kids, all four of them, I said, look, it's Christmas. If you want to stay up all night, I don't care. You stay up all night. And so my boys and my nephew and my niece, they stayed up all night downstairs with the kittens, because the kittens aren't allowed out of that room, on their own. I was woken up, it was noisy, and I couldn't sleep. I was lying in bed, Catherine, and at midnight, I was thinking, I think this is the worst bit of parenting I've ever done in my life. I felt terrible about it. And about 2 o'clock, I was woken up, my youngest came in and turned the light on. Dada! Yes? Are we allowed ice lollies? I said, yeah, sure, have what you want, I don't care. And then they went off and had ice lollies. And then at 4 o'clock in the morning, so noisy, I went down and I said, all right, guys, look, they were playing Fortnite and Rocket League all night. I said, look, you're having a great time. Maybe at 4 o'clock in the morning, it's time to turn this game off and maybe watch a movie. Let me put a movie on for you. Put Sing on. Knowing that if they were passive, there was a strong chance they were going to fall asleep. And it worked. They fell asleep. They got 2 hours sleep. And the next day were just out of it, man. It was like they were stoned. It was great. And here's the thing. I got this because I know you did this with your girls.
Yeah.
And it put the idea in my head. And I didn't think they'd make it all night. I thought they would be out by about 2. But they made it to about 5. But what amazing memories, man. It was making memories.
I also did the thing at about 4-ish where I thought, oh, God, this is very bad now. But I can't be that person who goes down and breaks it up. So instead, I'll just go and cramp their style by watching the film with them.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
I went down and you'd sent me a video of one of your aunts or someone doing a dance with the kids.
Yeah. No, that's my auntie-in-law.
Right. So I went down and they were all flagging a bit. And put on Sing and the music started. And I said, by the way, guys, it's not how you do it. This is how you do it. And I started doing really silly dancing. And they were peeing their pants, man. And then I left them to it. And it was great. And present, and Kath put me onto this as well. I've got credit where it's due. The best present, and they got like an expensive robot and an expensive game and some nice books and so on. But the present that had them literally jumping up and down and screaming was, and I posted a picture of it on Twitter, a Chupa Chups display thing with 200 Chupa Chups on there. The kind of thing you get in a chemist.
Yeah.
And the boys were going, is this for us? It must have cost you a fortune. I'm thinking it cost 20 quid.
I know.
If you want to get them, they're on Amazon for 20 quid. And it's the best present.
I mean, if to a child, that is decadence.
Yeah. I felt like Elton John.
I know exactly what you mean.
It was incredible. They were and I said, look, you're here for 3 days and it's Christmas. You can kind of help yourself to as many as you want. If I see you doing too many, I'm gonna come in and stop. But you kind of can. When you come back and visit me in the new year, we're back to a strict one, maybe two a day. You've got to ask me. But over Christmas, help yourself, man. It's Christmas.
Yeah.
I want my kids to feel sick at Christmas because that's kind of what it's about.
One of mine actually was sick, so go me.
Oy. But your girls had a good time, didn't
they? They had a brilliant time.
Magic, isn't it?
Yeah, they had a brilliant time.
For them, for kids.
Yeah, and there's kind of been a lawlessness for the past week or so.
Yeah.
That is cool because we all know it's going to come to an end. They're going back to school on Thursday.
Yeah.
Hey. Oh, poor kids.
God, there's so many calls. I'm not going to give out the number. Let's go to Andy. Good evening, Andy.
Oh, good evening, Ian. Am I on?
You are?
Thank you. Good evening, Ian. Good evening, Kath.
Good evening, Andy.
Thank you. I just firstly have to say I think you're brilliant.
You're correct. He's correct. I'm not going to beat around the bush. We're front page news.
Pardon?
Yes.
Well, I've been listening for a while now, so I know it all went a bit one way or another, but I'm going to go the Bros direction.
Yes.
Because...
Bros give you an erection, what?
No, the Bros direction.
Okay, great band, covers band. Great covers band.
All the other stuff.
They do Bros and One Direction.
Beautiful.
By the way, there's a phone in for you. Covers bands that are more than one band. I saw... they were called like the Dodgy Birds or something. They were the Birds, but they were Crosby, Stills and Nash and Young. But they also did.
I like them.
They also did the Hollies and the Birds and the Buffalo Springfield. But you do quite often get tribute acts that will do two bands because maybe one band hasn't got enough hits to warrant a full show.
Well, I can't see the point of seeing. Like it's like the Bad Beatles thing. I don't get the. Anyway, I'm not going.
Well, the point
is
you can't see the actual Beatles anymore, so.
Yeah, what's the point?
Three of them are dead.
Quite fun.
Well, exactly. I'm talking about Bros now, right?
Yes. Bros direction.
I'm 49 now, right? And when I was.
Happy birthday. Bros
and Got the Boy, which I love.
Yeah.
My mates used to pillory me.
They used to pillory.
When I used to go anywhere, right?
You get pilloried.
Bros. I think I'm into Bros. I love Bros. Because I've always liked boy bands and all that.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that.
Is that a wrong word to say?
I don't know what you said, so let's not repeat
it. Crap.
Okay.
Thank you. I'm just with you in everything, right? I've seen you because I'm your age-ish.
Oh, you're a bit older than me, mate. You're 4 years older than me, buddy, so...
Yeah, I know, ish.
Yeah, well, I would say not even an ish. 4 years is a big old gap.
Oh, come on.
Imagine you're 16 and I'm 12 and you ask me out on a date. How wrong is that? So wrong. So it's not ish. Wrong. It's a massive gap. It's a huge gap. I'm glad you accept that.
Yeah,
so,
but like...
Yeah.
All right, just to put...
You're old. You're old, yeah. You're an old man. You're an old guy phoning up a young guy.
Once you get past the age of, like, 30-ish, is okay.
No, not... No, I disagree with that. 4 years is
Not even 4 years when you're 30.
It's a chasm. It's a gaping chasm. Listen, you were probably buying punk rock records. I was three, so...
I was in Madness.
Madness are doing... I don't want to, you know, tell people to go somewhere else, but 11:35, one of the channels is showing Madness live from Big Ben or something.
Oh.
Well,
yeah, but...
Hang on. They should be showing... Shut up! I'm doing a joke! Doing a funny joke! Shut up! Doing a joke! Will you shut your face? They should be showing... Shut up!
What?
They should be showing Madness from Parliament.
Good one.
They're
all on holiday.
All right, Andy, I'm bored of you now, mate. Let's go to Wilson. Good evening, Wilson.
Hello.
Hello, Wilson.
Hello.
Hello, Rep fans. Hello, vegetables.
Yay. I hope you're both having a good New Year's Eve.
I'm working, mate. I'm working. What do you think's going on? I'm working.
Most probably not a good one, then.
Go on, yes.
Yeah, I'm here to sing. I've been made aware that you like the museum song from Barnum.
Oh, there we go. Yes, we go. Okay.
Yeah, I've been learning it for like the past week.
Let's hope you don't screw it up. Let's hope you don't balls it up. Because if you balls it up, it's going to be embarrassing.
Yeah, it will be. Yeah.
Away you go then. Go on.
All right.
I'm going to close my phone box because we're having a little bit of communicazione problems here. Let's see if I close it. Go on. Away you go. Just do it. Quick. Right. Come on. Get bored.
Quite a lot of Roman terracotta. Live and lover from the flanks of Etna. Statuary, ride a dromedary. See a temple topple in the Red Sea Park. Make the Morris band a first lady in the land of pickle three star. Can it be?
Hang on a minute. Stop. Did you just go...
Yeah, I messed it up.
Thanks very much for your call, Wilson. We'll try again in a year's time. Don't try and... I thought it's not a great line, but it sounded like you went... Now, we have callers that can do that. Watco, regular caller to the show, can do it. Mm-hmm. So, Wilson, I've got to be harsh. I have got to be harsh. Yes, Richard.
Ian?
Richard?
Is that you?
Is that you?
Hello, mate. How are you?
I'm alright, yes.
How are you doing? I've got some beef. I have some beef this evening.
Oh, I love a bit of beef.
Hi, Catherine.
Hi, what's your beefs?
How are you doing?
Alright.
I've got big beef. I've got big beef. I've got two beef.
No.
First beef. Do you know Las Vegas, Andrew?
I do, that slacker that flies over from Las Vegas to come see our live shows, yeah.
The big bumlick,
oh.
I bumlinked on the photograph, but
yeah.
He bumlinked on the whiteboard.
Yes.
I'm over here on my 50th, which makes me 5 years older than you.
Thank you,
I'm
significantly
also
older.
What you just said.
Yeah, yeah.
Exactly.
You're kind of a similar age to that drunk guy we just spoke to, but you're not a similar age to me.
Yeah. Exactly, you're younger. So I phoned up the press that Andrew stood me up in Las Vegas.
Yeah.
On my 50th, I'm older than you.
He lives in Las Vegas.
Yeah, I know. I came out to see him and celebrate my birthday, and he can't make it down the hill. I can literally see his house from where I am. I want Judge Ball to intervene and tell him off.
Okay. Oh, hang on a second. Andrew, is this you?
Yeah, Richard, can you see me waving? It's me sticking the two fingers up.
Yeah, I can see you waving. Yeah, I know.
So, Andrew, are you in Las Vegas?
Yeah, I live here, yeah.
Well, why aren't you hanging out with this boring drunk man, Richard?
Look, hear me. I'm in my sick bed and I'm being harassed and bullied to call in.
Yeah.
And you can't give me a moment. Yeah. No. I was on my way down. I was halfway down the strip and thought, no, I can't do it. I can't put him through that. So I've returned back home. No good.
Do you believe that? Do you believe that?
Why can't we be friends? Why can't they be friends? I mean, obviously Richard's irritating and Andrew's a weirdo, but why can't you guys put that to one side and be friends?
Exactly. You brought us together in Manchester or Brighton, and he hasn't even turned up 2 miles down the road.
So, Andrew, seriously, why can't you be bothered to turn up, this drug addict?
Well, I think you've nailed it there. I don't mess around with any drugs, not in Vegas.
No. Richard, have you got a message you'd like to pass on to Andrew?
Yeah, I'd like Judge Ball to make a finding against Andrew and pay half the hotel bill.
Wow, okay, that's getting... There's some beef there, and I don't think we can help those guys. Let's go to Richie. Good evening, Richie.
Hello.
Hello, Richie.
Yeah, I've made some pointers, been listening. I'll do it in reverse. It'll sound funnier.
Mm-hmm.
And very much happy New Year and all that.
Oh, whatever.
Cat among the pigeons.
Yeah.
Duh.
Terrible song.
Ross. Cat.
Yeah.
You and Kath are the new Piers and Susanna.
How
don't
dare
forget,
you.
I'm doing my pointers in reverse here.
Okay.
I've been waiting
how
for
how
like
you. Piers Morgan minutes. Blocked me, a man I work with. Blocked
you
me on Twitter.
You need more TV because you are awesome on GMB.
I'm not licking your bottom, and I'm not swearing. I don't think I'll be asked back after Piers Morgan blocked me on Twitter, but that's by the by.
Oh, sod Twitter, mate. See, I didn't swear then.
Yes.
And good effort for you both for doing this Happy New Year show.
Yeah.
And you've got a third listener. I've got a 12-month-old little blue staffy.
Yay! Or as we say, a year!
Happy whatever, mate.
Happy bumholes!
For both you and Kath. And don't forget, Kath among the pigeons!
Okay, thank you very much indeed. I mean, wowzers. Yes, Andre?
Good evening, Ian. Good evening, Kath.
Yes.
Happy New Year's Eve.
You've got 30 seconds.
Oh, yes. Right, I've got a tune. Really?
You've got 20 seconds.
All right. Wait for it. We've waited all year for this.
You've got 10 seconds.
Oh, no. I've got to have longer than that for this one.
I've been giving you the countdown for the last 20 seconds.
Right, here it comes in.
Five, four,
three, two, and
he's out of time. I gave him plenty of warning.
He sings that virtually every time as well.
Dear listener, we did an hour of something. I don't know what it was. The switchboard is now empty. Great time to give us a call. This is the Late Night Alternative on Talk Radio.
The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee. Unfiltered Night Talk with the original king of unconventional conversation on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Right, so Ian's gone off for a wee and he's taken his phone with him so he can look at Twitter. You know, the Twitter he's not looking at. And he's taking his computer because he thinks I'm going to go on Twitter that he's not using and shouldn't be open on his computer and write messages, you know, like he does whenever I leave my laptop open. So anyway, that's a little insight into the mind of a 45-year-old man. Anyway, while he does his thing, and he may be sometime, he says he was a number one, but who knows. I'm going to tell you about a very interesting case I read about in this publication, serious scientific publication, called Chat It's Fate, which is full of the latest paranormal and psychic news. Now, this is a story of a woman called Romany Romany from Brighton. She's 49 years old. Dancing around the fire, I whispered my heartfelt plea to the God of the Flames. Please, give me my own magic show. Show me how, I begged over and over again.
What are you reading?
The story of Romany Romany.
Oh, yeah.
Voices told her to leave her husband so she could become a star.
Woo-hoo! Yes, ma'am.
I was at a music and performing arts festival.
Her name's Romany Romany?
Apparently.
Wow.
She's from Brighton.
Okay.
I was at a music and performing arts festival called Fire Dance in California, USA. I travelled...
That's where California is.
Yeah.
I knew it was over that way somewhere.
Yeah.
I knew it was out west, but yeah. I didn't know it was in the USA.
United States of America.
Oh.
I travelled alone to California, USA.
Okay.
Leaving my husband Martin at home in the UK.
Martin sounds like a loser.
Well... He sounds like that now. You wait till you hear what happens.
Oh, yes. 0344 499 1000, by the way, if you want to join us.
An artist and performer, my real dream was to be a professional magician with my own show, but somehow it always seemed just out of my grasp. It was almost as if I was being blocked.
My youngest can do a couple of magic tricks now.
Really?
Yeah, proper ones. We got the three cups and you make a ball appear. You put a ball on top, then tap it in it. But yeah, it's good.
Got powers.
Yeah, he's got powers. And he's so proud. And I'm proud. And then sometimes he does it and then he lifts it up wrong. So you see how he does it. Yeah. But he's got...
He's only little.
He does that and he does another thing where he can make coins appear. And then the eldest...
He'll never work again.
The eldest has got a thing where he can make like a little red light come out from behind your ear.
Oh, now I've seen that. Yeah. There's a really nice... A really sweet clip of a paediatrician.
Oh, God, disgusting. They should all be strung up and sent to the Isle of Wight.
A children's doctor in America. And he's got a couple of those lights and he keeps producing... This little kid is in his office and he... Oh, it's just wonderful.
Well, my eldest can do that. So he's better than that paedophile. Carry on.
The next section of this story is called, in pink, Mystical Revelation.
Oh,
after a night of wild revelry and dancing... Remember, Martin's at home...
Wild revelry and dancing. And dancing. That's not including the wild revelry. That is a separate issue that we have to deal with.
So what would revelry be, to your mind?
Drinking and...
That's carousing, surely.
What about screwing?
Revelry,
revelry to me...
Debauchery is screwing,
revelry to me would be dancing on a bar.
Yeah.
Atop the bar.
Like hijinks would go into revelry.
Hijinks is like putting fireworks down a toilet and flushing it.
Or a cone on a statue's head.
There we go, you see.
Or bringing a tree home, like one of my student
housemates did. I hated students when I was a student.
Yeah, so did I.
Hated being a student. It was such hard work to be so wacky all the time. And drunk.
Yeah. Anyway, after a night of wild revelry and dancing, use your imagination.
We've all been
young once.
Haven't we? Well.
I decided to go for a hike in the forest to clear my head.
I'm David Babcock and I got my willy stuck in a Hoover.
Just so you know what show you're listening to.
I put my trainers on and marched briskly down to the leafy trail. As the sun began to set, I enjoyed a moment of complete solitude. I was miles away from the nearest human being. The only sound was the cracking of twigs under my feet.
Oh.
And then, out of nowhere, I heard a voice speak.
Why does life have to be so unfair?
No, it wasn't that one.
Oh.
The voice said, leave Martin.
It was a dogger. A dogger was telling her to leave her husband.
The voice ordered me, sell your house.
Ordered.
Go to Las Vegas.
Don't tell Martin you're selling your house.
Are you sure it wasn't the hangover that was telling her that maybe...
Martin must never know you're selling your house.
Psychic all my life, I realised at once that the voice wasn't from someone who was physically present there with me in the forest.
No.
Okay, big pink writing, spirit presence. Mm-hmm. The voice was from spirit.
Are you mad?
Possibly.
But why was it telling me to leave Martin, my husband of 5 years? I loved him dearly.
Oh, God. She loved him and she's listening to ghosts and they're telling her to leave and she's considering it despite her loving him?
I turned around and walked back to the festival campsite deep in thought.
Okay. And high on drugs. I'm sure she wasn't.
This voice, without sound but absolutely clear, had actually spoken to me twice before. In a loo in Portugal.
In a loo?
Yes. That's not a place, a toilet, a loo.
Oh.
In Portugal, and
I've
again...
I've heard voices in toilets, but they tell me to do bad things.
and again in my flat in Shepherd's Bush. Both times, it had told me to wipe myself better. No, not really.
No.
You're a pervert.
Both times, it had told me to leave Martin. This person does not like Martin.
No. Martin sounds like a... Well, Martin
poor
like
Martin.
A,
I bet he's a stand-up guy.
It's not Martin Kellner, is it?
No, it's a German Martin. More is going to be revealed in a second.
Okay.
Martin. Martin.
Martin.
Martin.
Martin.
Martin. Martin. His probably name is Martin.
My name is Martin, and I would like to spank your bottom, please. Very hard with my willy.
I'd ignored it both times, you know, the time in the loo and the time in Shepherd's Bush. I couldn't.
My Lubenschaften! My Lubenschaften is getting arousing!
Oh, God. I couldn't bear to think how much Martin and I would both suffer if we parted.
Yeah, oh,
this time, though, I knew it was answering my prayer from last night. You know, the drunk one. If I wanted to be a successful magician, I had to give up my marriage. The message from Spirit was crystal clear.
Because there are no successful married magicians. Everybody knows that.
What was I going to do?
Magic or Martin? Magic or Martin?
Martin and I had married in Linz, Austria, at the street festival where we met as fellow performers.
Well,
I was 27 at the time. He was a juggler. And walked up to me with a flower.
A juggler or a gigolo?
A juggler.
Okay.
He was a gorgeous, tall German. And on our first date, he turned to me in the moonlight and said,
I like mine quite hard, and then I like to put it all in my mouth at once.
How did you know? No, he said, I think I love you.
I think I love you. We will get married. I will spank your bottom with my Ubenschaften.
We hadn't wasted any time and decided to get married right there and then. Okay, so it's one of those marriages.
Right there. He walked up to her, said, I think I love you. We're going to get married now.
Wow. Ours was a huge wedding celebrated by everyone present at the festival. Oh, we're not even joking. They got married there and then.
How do you do that there and then?
Pagan priestess bound our wrists together with
all right.
silk.
All right, you got. All right, so it's not a proper marriage. You're not married to him. Okay, sorry. I thought when you said husband, you were married. No, you met in a street
and jumped over a broom.
And a nutty lady tied your arms together. You jumped over a broom. That ain't married, right? Next.
We were happy.
So her boyfriend. She wants to finish with her boyfriend. Okay, fine.
We set up home in Brighton, performed together with a juggling and knife throwing act.
Oh,
well, you would. I mean,
can you think of a worse act?
And planned to start a family one day. There was a terrible time when I thought I was going to lose Martin as he developed a tumour the size of a grapefruit between his heart, lungs and spine. But he had it successfully removed.
Luckily, we weren't actually married, so I wasn't that bothered.
I felt enormously lucky to still have him. Mm-hmm. But now, this voice. Now, having been through so much together, Spirit was telling me to leave him.
I've got actually got a recording of Martin the night he was told that she was going to leave him.
No, please don't leave me.
There we go, that's a real recording.
His English had come on a treat.
Yes, it has, because of his Umwelschaften.
I knew that having asked me three times, the voice wouldn't ask me again, so this was my last chance. Yeah, that's the way it works. It was as if the universe was saying to me, you can have this, but you've got to show faith.
By the way, can I just say, Chat is Fate is the best £25 I've ever spent on an annual subscription for anything ever.
I mean, God, this is the first of so many of these tales.
Oh, mate.
If I stayed with Martin, I knew I wouldn't go down the path that would lead to my dream of having a successful magic show. Pink writing, decision time.
Decision time. What's it going to be, Martin or magic?
By the time I'd got to my tent, I'd made up my mind.
It was magic. Martin could get shafted, as far as I was concerned.
I sat on the floor and wept my lost marriage.
Ugh, women's head!
For the pain and confusion I'd caused when I broke all my promises to Martin, I wept for the fun we'd miss and the children we'd never have and for our growing old together.
Then I realised we weren't actually married and it was just splitting up with a boyfriend and that happens all the time.
So, she does it bravely. I wrote Martin a letter telling him I was leaving. Ouch. And I didn't hand it to him until we were back home in Brighton.
Ooh.
His face crumpled when he read it, breaking my heart. But we're going to be together forever, he said, bursting into tears.
Martin.
I heard a voice, I began.
This.
Did you hear that? I heard a voice, I began, but stopped, realising it didn't make sense. I wanted to comfort him and put my arms around him and say it was all a stupid mistake and of course I wasn't leaving. But I couldn't. I'd made my decision and my path was set. Come what may, I'd be leaving the UK for Las Vegas in America in about 4 months' time. It was the hardest 4 months of my life. I loved Martin, and the longer I was at home, the more I felt I couldn't give a damn about any voice. But it was too late.
Too late, of course it was.
Because Martin had moved on.
Had he?
Yes!
He was gone.
He started a new relationship with someone else, and having made the decision to separate, I had no choice but to accept it. But well, I knew it was meant to be.
Oh, jeez. I like I want to hear Martin's side of the
Martin
story.
Martin sounds ace.
Monday, I was coming back from holiday with my, we're not technically married, but my girlfriend, and she says she hears voices and wants to dump me. I think, screw her, so I can find another woman. Make love to her with my ungeschaffen.
The deal was struck, the price was agreed, and the magic set in motion. Pink writing, moving away.
Moving away.
So there I was in my 30s without children, a partner, a home, or any debts. All your own fault.
And I didn't know any magic tricks.
All I wanted was that surefire act, and I didn't care how long it took or what it cost. Oh. Sitting on the plane to Vegas, leaving England behind me, I had the sense I was changing my life forever. Once I got to Vegas, I planned to study with Jeff McBride, an acquaintance of mine and a megastar in the world of magic. I hadn't actually organised anything beforehand. So I went to see him as soon as I arrived in Vegas. I'm sorry, Romany, but I'm about to leave for a tour of Japan, he told me.
I'm hooking up with some German guy called Martin, who has recently become single. We've fallen in love. I'm going to teach him some tricks.
My heart sank. Oh, my God, I'd left Martin and now my dream was collapsing already. Had I just made the worst mistake of my life? Oh. Over the page, will the magic work for Romany?
Hang on a minute. How long does this go on for?
Another page.
Oh, God.
The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
Dear listener, if you'd have told me that my 2018 Christmas would be the highlight, the viewing highlight, would be a documentary about Bross, I would have laughed at you. Bross, a band I was never a big fan of, never a fan of. They weren't my thing. They weren't aimed at me. And people kept saying, you've got to watch this Bross documentary. You've got to watch this. I was going, well, why would I want to watch that? And then I watched it. And it's full of stuff like this.
Don't shut me down. I'm going to speak. I've listened.
No, no, no.
I'm going to speak. I'm going to speak.
You're going to speak.
I'm going to speak, are you? You're going to speak. Because I've just told you how I feel. Yourself.
Do you want to yourself?
Let me tell you yourself.
I mean, wow. Something else, wasn't it, Kath?
Yeah, it was incredible.
It's also bits like this.
Oh, this is my favourite bit.
I think the letters H-O-M-E are so important. Because they personify the word home, which means it's the place that you come and you feel safe.
But this is my little cave area where I just chill out, and you can see he's got this huge crystal next to me.
I have crystals everywhere, and I'm not a hippie, but I believe in energy with every fibre of my soul.
Chess, love a bit of chess. Got the... have a few glasses of scotch, long game of chess, I love it. And over here, got me a picture of me and Muhammad Ali.
I don't allow arguments in this house. You know, if you want to argue in this house, you got to leave.
Here is the little kind of conversational corner.
I have a rule in my house, if you break it, you fix it. But you can break anything you want.
This is one of the loves of my life. This is Alfred, my bulldog. I got him painted. I had him painted holding a pint of beer.
It's not a place where you can't move the cushions or you can't just crash and throw everything. And as long as you, when you leave, like, you know, make the bed.
It is great. It is great for so many reasons, right? And if you've not seen it, it's on BBC iPlayer. I thoroughly recommend... I give you permission, in about 20 minutes' time, when we finish this bit of the show, I'll give you permission to switch off our show and go and watch Bross... and then give us a call afterwards when you've seen it.
Well, watch Bross for the first time because you will want to watch it again.
Yeah. I'm so thrilled. We've got the director of the documentary on the show now. It's Joe Perlman. Good evening, Joe.
Hey, how's it going, mate?
Mate, it's going very, very well. Thank you so much for joining us and congratulations.
Thank you so much.
You owned Christmas.
That's not something I thought you'd be saying about a Bross film, I'll be honest with you. But yeah, man, it's gone down incredibly well. Couldn't be happier, and yeah, really happy to speak
good.
To you guys.
Good. You should. Well, thank you. You should be very, very proud of yourself because it was the thing, Catherine, yep. Wasn't it? The one program that everyone was talking
and
about.
Everyone I'm talking to has their favourite bit, whether it's the bulldog bit, whether it's the Stevie Wonder mention, whether it's Conkers. That became a hashtag.
So we'll pick out specific bits in a minute. But how did you get this gig? What was? Did you pitch it to them? Did they pitch it to you? How did it happen?
No, so it kind of came about a bit organically. So it was actually, I co-directed it with a guy called David Sutar. We worked very closely together on a lot of things. And I believe he got a text from the tour manager at the time, Steve Martin, saying they're coming back. What do you think? And then there was also a meeting at Live Nation, and they were mentioned again. And after a few mentions, we thought, you know what, let's go and meet them and see what the situation is. And we sat down with them at in LA at the beginning of, not last year, the year before. And yeah, we kind of knew we wanted to tell their story and also how, you know, amazing documentary characters they are. That we were in immediately.
How many minutes did it take for you to realise that there was something pretty special about these two?
I'd say pretty instantly. The first kind of conversations with Matt and Luke, some of the lines that were kind of coming out even at that meeting, you already knew that these were the kind of documentary characters that you really dream about having. And yeah, they gave us absolutely everything.
Here's the thing, man. It's a funny film, right? And it's quotable. People compare it to Spinal Tap, that Metallica documentary, The Office, all of that. But there is also, I'm going to use the J word. There's that heartwarming journey towards, I don't know, I'm going to call it a reconciliation between two estranged brothers, the success of the concert, you know, they're fighting, bickering constantly throughout the film. Then at the end, you get to see their genuine love and affection for each other. So there's the funny element of it, but it is also a beautiful story.
Very much so. And that's kind of what we were pushing for all along because, you know, the opportunity to take the piss, just like everyone did in the 80s, I think is always there. And that wasn't the intention by any means of what we were trying to do. When we met with the guys the first time, it was very clear that as well as being great characters, they also had an unbelievable story that they wanted to tell. They had a lot of pain between them and they were ready to start talking. Remember, they hadn't spoken. They'd spoken off and on for about, you know, 25 years.
Wow.
And that's a long time. They're twins. So they were kind of ready to start talking amazingly in front of cameras. And they, you know, yeah, as I said before, they kind of gave us everything, fights and all.
How amazing a drummer is Luke Goss? I mean, when did that... He's got the biggest drum kit in the world. But flipping heck, man, he's incredible.
He is. He's an amazing drummer. He really is. So we actually went in LA to go and choose his drum kit with him. And it's actually an extra scene on the DVD. And he picks out the most... For someone who hasn't played drums in 25 years, it is the biggest drum kit that anyone's ever seen. I mean, this is the person who at Wembley Stadium was suspended on a platform with his drum kit. So it's not exactly surprising that he was going to go large.
My mate is dead now, Chris Seavey, Frank Sidebottom, compared their gig at Wembley Stadium back in the day, and he said, I don't know if you're aware of Frank Sidebottom, the guy with the big paper mache head.
Yeah,
he said to me, Ian, there's nothing like dying at a stadium, because he would go on and go, give us a scream if you like Luke, you know, 50,000 girls screaming. Give us a scream if you like Matt, 50,000 girls screaming. Give us a scream if you like Betamax. Silence. it was a weird old choice. They are... there were wonderful moments in it. The moment that I'm going to jump all over the place. The moment that really grabbed me, and you use it twice in the film, is that argument before, I think it's before they go and do This Morning, or they're booked to do This Morning. And it's them in the dressing room with a big old security guard, and you can see in the reflection of the mirror, you can see one or two of your film crew.
Yeah, and it's producer,
actually, Tina Powell. Oh, well done her for staying there, because it is watching it through a screen. It's tense. It's like a version of the Trogs tape. It's horrendous. Were you in that room when that was happening?
I was. I was tucked away in the corner with a camera slammed against my face and trying not to look at anyone and trying not to break their gaze, so it kind of continued in front of us. But there was a kind of a build-up towards that argument with rehearsals, and they had the fight that you see in rehearsals the day before. So, you know, that morning when I met Matt outside of This Morning, it was very clear that he was ready to have a fight. And, we're not exactly, you know, you don't try and influence these things, but when those kind of things happen, you just sit in the corner. And
how many of you were in that room with them while that was going on?
Two of us.
Just the two of you. And it must have been incredibly uncomfortable for you. How long did that row go on for?
That was a 25-minute fight.
Mate!
But we kind of, you get used to it. I mean, the thing is, we were with these guys for six months.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of fights, and there was a lot of, as you can imagine, it was very intense filming with them. You kind of just, it's that thing of being a documentary stonker. You just kind of vanish into the background, and these things kind of play out in front of you. And You step outside, you're like, wow.
Were there any bits where, or any moments where they said, do you know what? What would you prefer it if you didn't put that out? Or did you have complete freedom?
Nothing. We had complete freedom. Wow. They saw the film the first time, which was a finished cut in Los Angeles a couple of weeks before we actually showed it at Fantastic Fest in Austin, Texas. So, yeah, there was nothing. They didn't want to change anything.
That's amazing.
The film. Yeah.
That is, well played them, because that is amazing. Particularly pop stars who are very keen on their image.
You also, both of those guys are super conscious of what's happened before with them in the industry. Very burnt by it.
Yeah.
And also, you know, very guarded as to how they're represented both to each other and to the public, aren't they?
Exactly. And I think the honesty is the big thing that came through. And I take my hat off to them, you know, for this, because they couldn't have been more honest and more earnest.
Yeah.
And that's an amazing thing. It's all you ever hope for when you make a film like this. And I think also when they saw the film, and I think throughout the process as well, they kind of trusted that we were doing them, you know, doing the right thing by them and telling the story that they wanted to tell, and including the stuff with the mum and the sister, and the emotional journey throughout that as well. And it was the story of, you know, two brothers coming together over music and over pain and over family to come and try and get together and do the gig and kind of reconcile the relationship. So I think they were just really happy with it.
It's an age-old story of generally very young men, quite often sometimes young women, but generally very young men being exploited, being abused, being within an industry, you know, having every little last dollar and cent squeezed out of them, and then, right, you can get lost, let's move on to the next lot. It's a classic pop story. How damaged were they, do you think, by the first go on the merry-go-round?
I think they were very damaged, and I think they still have some damage to this day from that experience. I think it was extremely painful. I think they trusted people who they thought were doing the right thing by them. And, you know, there's a lot of stories about them being difficult over the years and all those things, of spending all the money. But I think they entered into a bad deal, and they were young and didn't have the advice that they should have had around them. And they
What happened to, I always call him Ken the bass player.
Craig.
Because of Viz. Viz would always refer to him as Ken the bass player. Craig, of course, the forgotten third member of Bros. Was he?
He's not forgotten.
Well, no.
This question's been, I keep getting asked this question a lot, and I just want to try and set the record straight.
Go
with this
on.
We had an amazing interview with Craig, and it's on the DVD, and it's really great.
Oh, wow.
But I think that the story that we were trying to tell, and as we were going through the film, we knew that this was bigger than a nostalgic film about Bros.
Yeah.
And that was so important to us that, you know, there's no other talking heads in the film. You don't hear, no one's asked, what do you hear from Matt and Luke's dad? Like, he's still alive. No one asked about that, but it's about Craig. So the journey was just getting muddled by adding extra people in. And it just didn't feel like a necessary part of the story. I mean, he wasn't part of the reunion. This was clearly a story about two brothers and family reconciliation. And that was the story we were trying to tell.
You mentioned that there's I didn't know there was a DVD coming out. When's it coming out, and what else is on there?
It's out. There is an interview with Craig, and there's a few deleted scenes, which I would say, in the edit, we struggled not to get them in, but they're worthy of the Twitter.
Goes immediately to Amazon to order the DVD.
Order two.
Yeah, there's a dinner scene with Matt and Luke, which starts very touching and very quickly descends.
I don't even know when it went on over Christmas, because I wasn't going to watch any telly this Christmas, Joan. I just kept getting on Twitter people like Danny Baker saying everything you've heard about the Bros documentary is true. My sister's sending me quotes, you know, the Stevie Wonder bit. I learnt from Stevie Wonder, never be superstitious. When did you realise that this was more than just 2 hours of telly that had gone out of Christmas, that this was actually developing a life of its own?
I actually kind of forgot about it with everything that was going on with Christmas and that we were on TV. Originally, this was made as a film. You know, this was made for festivals, and then we did a release in the cinema, and then we were going to kind of see what was going on from there. And the BBC came in and took it for Christmas. And I kind of didn't think about it because it was a film. I didn't think about it as TV. And then you switch on Twitter whilst it's on. And everyone's talking about it, and then it kind of just snowballed over the next few days. I think we always talked about it being one of those films. It was kind of a word of mouth film. Like, no one wants to. I'm the first to say this. No one really wants to go into a Bros film. I don't think that's something that they necessarily are really, other than the fan base. And I think that we've had the ability to kind of transcend that, and that's, I'm really proud of that.
I'm going to play one bit. It's full of so many wonderful quotes and bits that you can play again and again. This became the hashtag. This is pops up from nowhere, and it's wonderful.
And now you can't even
play Conkers in England. Can we start a petition on a Bros, please? Can we start ridiculous it is that you can't play Conkers, and if you do, you've got to wear goggles. That is the biggest problem. Can't play Conkers in England.
I can live with it.
It's just wonderful, because it comes from... They're reminiscing about the old days. Then Matt goes into...
Whatever, got a dart in the chest, went back, had it pulled out and carried on playing.
Matt goes into this rant that is actually inaccurate, but is lovely, full of passion. And Luke's like, yeah, I can live with it. You know, there are so many wonderful moments like that. Were there any other bits like that where you just didn't have the time to put them in, you didn't have the space...
The DVD extras. There's three or four scenes on there that we wished we could have put in film. There's a couple of things that didn't make it, which are very, like, there's a scene with Matt playing poker with a group of his mates, which is very entertaining. But yeah, there were a lot of scenes like that. And that, you know, that was the hardest, that was the really hard part, is also having all these funny moments and having all these amazing metaphors, as we like to call them.
Ooh, I like that, metaphors. Yeah, it's very nice.
Yeah, but at the same time, being able to take you on that emotional journey and get you to the end and get you loving the boys by the end.
Yeah, oh, and that is it. Here's the thing, you know, I went, what year were Bros? 83, 84? No, maybe a bit later than
much
that.
Much later, yeah. 88, 89.
Was it that late? Here's the thing, I was I was a 14-15-year-old kid, and I was into the Beatles and the Beach Boys, and I hated them. And when everyone is saying, you've got to watch this Bros documentary, oh, man, really, I don't want to. And then I was with my boys, and they fell asleep early on my lap, and I thought, well, I'll put the first 10 minutes on. But you're right, It transcended the fandom. It transcended what people they may have been in the late 80s. It's just a joyous, wonderful, wonderful film.
The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
Everyone has to be on the same page. Otherwise, you don't get to turn the page. Because somebody gets left behind otherwise. And then somebody's lost the page of the story, which may be key to the ending, or to the whole entirety of the whole journey.
Have you not seen it, Sam?
Oh, mate, watch it.
Treat yourself. I got a computer there. Watch it now. Go on. Don't worry about this rubbish. Go and watch that. If you're listening, dear listener, we don't normally say this on radio. You've got 90 minutes. Go and watch it. Come back and give us a call about 12:30, 12:15, and let us know what you thought of it. I'm happy to let you have the night off to watch it. It's so good. 0344 499 1000 is the telephone number if you want to give us a call. It's Alan Caddick.
Hi, boss.
Oh, Alan sounds sad. Who's died?
Mean Gene Okerlund. From WWE.
Lindsay Lokanand?
No, the interviewer. Mean Gene. Okerlund.
Ninja Ling Okerlund.
Mean Gene.
Ninja
Ling
Okerlund.
Was she?
Poor. No, he.
Oh. Is it?
Yeah,
with
the he.
Well, that's... Well, okay. Have any famous people died?
Not in the last 48 hours.
Well, that's a relief. That's a relief. That's something to cling on to.
Well, but you're still young.
Alan is literally wishing famous people dead so that he can come on the radio and break the sad news and kill the vibe. Oh, well, Alan, cheer
how
up.
How was your new year, boss?
Sorry?
How was your new year?
I was working, mate.
Did you have the bongs? Because I didn't have the bongs when I was at the party.
We're not allowed to take drugs in this building.
No, I'm talking about Big Ben.
Of course we didn't.
Well, you have them live, do you?
What?
Did you have them live?
No.
With a microphone out the window?
No, we didn't do the bongs. If I remember it correctly, I was talking, then I realised it had gone midnight. I went, oh, it's 2019, here's the adverts. That was it. Didn't even have news, because they thought we were going to have bongs. I don't want bongs. I don't want bongs. I don't want no damn bongs.
Not news at 10.
Not news at 10. I don't want no damn bongs.
I miss news at 10.
Well, just take the news at 9 and watch it at 10.
Or on RGB Plus One as well.
Now, listen, yesterday a caller, I think it was Creepy Simon, called in with a suggestion for... Oh, we didn't do Alistair's suggestion of awards for best listeners. Oh, we'll do it next year.
Yeah.
He called in with a suggestion, right, where callers could phone up with a question for other callers. So, this may or may not work, Alan. We just don't know. We just don't know what the stats are at the moment. But...
Well, like I say, maybe you're still young.
Okay.
You're a pervert.
Now, have you got a question for any of the other callers?
Do you remember any of the other callers?
I've got a question for Sally. Wow!
Okay.
If there was another court case, would you take up the legal profession professionally?
If there was an... If there, this is the question. Got to get it word perfect. If there was another court case, Sally, would you take up the legal profession professionally? You happy with that question, Alan? Because it's being locked into the question machine.
OK, let's lock it in.
It's locked in. I haven't got a lock-in sound. There we go. As close as I've got. I need to get a lock-in sound. It's locked in, Alan. We'll see if she calls in and we'll see if she has an answer.
Thank you.
Thank you, Alan.
Stimulating nightly emissions guaranteed to open your eyes and your mind.
Oh, my word.
The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
03444991000. We're excited at the prospect of losing our L plates, riding Pillion. If anyone's done these, we don't want to ride motorbikes. 125cc, nice little scooter, 65 miles an hour, although downhill once I did get it to exactly 70 miles an hour.
Yeah.
And
it feels fast.
Yes, because I was naked. if anybody's done it, can you give us a call? Because there's all these courses, like 700-800 quid. That seems a lot of money to learn how to ride a motorbike. 03444991000. I am trying a new thing. I've decided it's not a New Year's resolution. It just by coincidence happened over New Year's because over Christmas and New Year's because I had a week off. And when I get a week off, I kind of tend to have a little look at how my life is functioning and where I could maybe improve things and what I'm enjoying and what I'm not enjoying. And also, just before Christmas, my divorce came through the week before Christmas, as I knew it would. First Christmas Day without the boys, although we made up for it afterwards. We went mental with the chupa chup tree. 200 chupa chups I bought them.
How many are left?
Five. So it was a weird old time. And I'm in this house. I'm like 5 months into this house now, and divorce is through, and I've come off the antidepressants, and it's nearly 3 weeks I've been off the antidepressants, and I got, you know, it was a big old key ring collection from NA the other week. So it's been a weird old time. So I've been looking at Dave and Sally, stay there. So I've been looking at where my life is at this precise moment in time. You know, as a marriage comes to an end, I look out at what I potentially want from the rest of my life, and what bits I could improve on. Blah, 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 blah. So things like Twitch. I was streaming on Twitch for 3 or 4 months, streaming me playing games and stuff. I've stopped doing that. I feel really relieved. I don't feel pressured to be entertaining. Playing video games. Video games should be fun and relaxing. And, I've got a couple of people that I play with online, Roger and Ollie. And sometimes I play with my boy. I'm playing Fortnite with my boys online, which has been amazing. Come here, Daddy. Jump on the back of this and I'll drive you there. Can I have a gun, boys? No. We've got the guns. We'll protect you. What? Give me a gun. There was one bit. In Fortnite, there's like a wall comes in that closes and closes and closes. A storm. Closes and closes. And the storm was coming in. And my youngest was on, like, a little quad bike, and he drove off. I was going, come back and get me! No, Dada, you're going to... Come back and get me! And I'm there dying. And then he came back, and he rescued me, but very, very reluctantly. I said, boy, you are my least favourite now. And then the other one was laughing. I said, you're both out of the will.
The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
Hello.
We had a question from Alan Caddick. I believe the question went something like this. Sally, if there was another court case, would you consider the legal profession professionally? It's from Alan Caddick to you, Sally.
Is there any real point in me answering it? He's probably not listening.
Respect the question, Sally. Hate the player, but enjoy the play. Respect the question.
Okay.
Which is what we're calling this feature, by the way.
Respect the question.
RTQ, respect the question. That's not bad. That's not bad. We'll sell that to the idiots at Three Counties Radio. That's exactly who we're going to sell it to. The idiots at Three Counties Radio.
Tell us about your stringy uvula.
Don't you dare!
No, you kept that.
On FM, AM, online and digital radio.
This is BBC Three Counties Radio.
Coming up at 2, we'll be talking to a lady who has to masturbate her dog. Otherwise, it's going to die of cancer. But before that, it's time for Respect the Question. Sally's on. Sally, respect the question. The question set earlier from Alan Caddick was, if there was another legal case, would you follow the legal profession professionally? Respect the question.
No.
You've got. Hang on. don't, because you've got 10 seconds to respect the question, and your time starts now.
10,
no,
9,
no, not after
8,
that.
Okay, 7,
nightmare.
6,
absolute
5,
nightmare when I'm not
4,
putting myself through that
3,
again.
2, 1.
Well, that was Sally from Luton, respecting the question. Coming up, my pre-recorded interview with my dead Nana.
On FM, AM, online, and digital radio.
This is BBC Three Counties Radio.
Up your ass!
Hey.
3 years later, and I've still not forgiven them.
I parked in Milton Keynes on the weekend. It was very reasonable.
Anyway, Sally, it's great to have you on board. You've respected the question. You're through to the round now where you can say anything you want
just
to say.
Just a reminder that yesterday was bin... No, today was bin day.
Oh, I don't, well, think, when is my bin day? Does anybody know? Does anybody know when my bin day is?
Oh, 344-499-1000.
When is Ian's bin day? But I'm not telling you where I live. Sally, please get to the point.
I like that.
Sorry?
No, not on my bloody watch. It wasn't,
no,
Sally.
I genuinely need to know where my bin day is. Because I've had to go to the dump twice because bin day has not been happening. I don't know where bin day is.
Right. Okay. Do I now have to ask a question?
You don't have to.
Is that how it's going to work?
Yes, you do. You have to respect the question.
So I now have to ask another caller a question.
Oh, you...
yes. Pass the chat button.
You know how this works.
Pass the chatten.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
A dick.
I wonder if I can do that a little bit better. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I would like Ollie the troll to
Well, I tell you what. I tell you what. Ollie is. Ollie, you are a. Oh, hang on. I'm just editing that. Ollie, you are a
dick.
Ollie's a dick.
Pervert.
What is this obsession he has with sexy pictures of Mulder?
You're a pervert.
Well, she's a sexy lady.
Yeah. Okay. I get it.
What, of Mulder?
This could be a case for.
He's talking about Spooky Mulder, not Scully.
Yeah, not Scully, Mulder.
Agent Mulder, David Duchovny.
David Duchovny?
David Duchovny.
Well, what's the problem? Again, I see it. What's the problem with that? He's a good-looking guy.
Oh, no, I agree, and I was actually encouraging to post more, and I suggested a few that he should post. I just don't understand why it started in the first place.
You're
and
a pair of it.
He needs to keep posting them.
Oh. OK, well, that's a reasonable question.
Well, yeah. Well, if he's listening, then let's hope, Sally, he respects the question. Thanks so much for your call. Great to talk to you.
Thank
great,
you for...
great chat there. Really enjoyed it. Let's go to Dave. Good evening, Dave.
Hello.
Hi, Dave. Welcome to the Chit Chat Club.
Hiya.
These are real BBC local radio features, by the way.
All right,
David. Here we go. Strap yourselves in. This is going to be a big one.
All right. So,
And cue Dave. And cue David.
I like to listen to a lot of radio.
Show off.
Right. And I was listening to Deep Price on Sunday, and someone rang up and was speaking about your suicidal call.
Oh, yeah.
And Deep Price said he'd heard of it and said that he thought it was fake.
Oh, well, bless his soul.
Well, I don't believe Deep Price said that.
He said I was listening to it.
I don't believe he said that. What time did he say it? We'll find it. We'll listen to it, and then we'll hunt him down, and we'll cut his ears off and shove them up his bum. Well, listen, I don't believe he said that. But if he did say that, good luck to him. I trust me. I know for a fact it wasn't, because I was dealing with the guy over Christmas. So you know,
you were dealing with Pete Price.
No, I think we're dealing with an idiot here. No, Dave, I was dealing with the gentleman who had attempted.
You're
to
an idiot.
Him. Sorry.
You're an idiot.
You're an idiot.
No, you're an idiot.
No, Dave. You're an idiot.
No, you've just called me an idiot, so I'm throwing these insults back at you. You are an idiot.
Well, that just proves you're an idiot, because you're just saying the same insult back to me, idiot.
All right, then. You're a stupid idiot.
Oh-ho! It's escalated.
You, sir, are a bell cheese.
A what?
A bell cheese. The cheesiest of bells.
You are a foul-mouthed creep.
Did he say creep or prick?
Creep.
Okay, prick would have been better. Okay. All right, Dave, you won the insult war. You won! You won! Stop it! Please stop it!
I will stop.
All right, nice one, man. Well, thanks for the call.
All Okay.
But you're an idiot.
By the way, take your big spoon with you.
What?
Big spoon.
What's big spoon?
Because he's stirring it. Staring.
I don't believe that's true.
No, the Pete just
Price. I don't know Pete Price, but I hear he's an excellent broadcaster. Pete Price wouldn't do that. Pete Price wouldn't do that. Reminds me, we've got to pay that actor that was played the part of Chris.
Yeah.
Let's go to Jackie. Have you seen Jackie? Hello, Jackie.
Hello. Long time no speak.
Isn't it? You must be excited to let the words fall out of those beautiful lips of yours on your face.
Now I can talk about laryngitis since before Christmas.
Mate. How's it going?
The dreaded leggy. I'm fine now. I was just listening in again. About the bike tests and things.
Yes, here we go.
And there's a bit of a story. And I've just been looking on the DVLA, this thing about taking tests and things. How many people have actually had licences dating back 40, 50 years that were lost? People were sending their licences back and they were getting them back but without their motorcycle licences.
No!
And having to take the licences again.
No!
Well, my partner was bought him a Kiwi Superlight motorbike. 125.
Sounds delicious.
And it's a lovely, it looks like a Harley Davidson type of bike. It's great to go out. And he's got a Vespa now and things.
Yes.
And he's 66. And
that's nice.
When he looked at his licence, the motorcycle licensing part of it had been removed from his license.
Scumbags.
So he had to take his test again. And as you say, it's £600 a time.
Gutted. He must have been gutted.
Well, he just said to him, and somebody said to him, a friend of ours, he said, if the police were to stop you, they've got no proof that you haven't taken your license.
Yeah.
And you've got no proof that you have taken your license.
The license isn't that much. I don't know how much the license is, but the court.
For the provisional one, it's about, I think it was under £100, but it's still a lot of money to find.
Yes.
And so he had to go and retake his bike license.
Unbelievable.
Even though he'd already done it all those years ago.
I blame Brexit.
And blame me. And he had to take it again. So when he obviously, and then you can just keep taking your provisional then until you want to take the big licence, the full licence.
I want the big licence. I'm taking.
But that's like, as you say, it's a lot of money to find. But he said, I'm not going to take it. He said, because I've already done it.
Coward. He's a coward. He's a danger on these roads.
He likes driving it. He's got a Vespa as well now. And
I never thought, Jackie, that I'd get a little scooter. And I don't know what made me do it.
I did, because I fancied one.
Well, I walked past a scooter shop in central London, and I just saw this really crappy old scooter, and I went, oh, I think I could see myself on that. And it was only £1,000, and I bought it. It turns out I bought a different one. I thought I was buying that one. I bought a different one. It was partly midlife crisis. It was partly marriage breakdown. It was partly wanting a little bit of a thrill.
The thing is with these now, Ian, they are going up so much in price. His cost so much money, and his Vespa was a rogue Vespa from Italy or from India or somewhere.
Yeah,
the last of the line. It's called an LML.
Yeah.
But it's actually a Vespa, and it's now tripled in price.
I would never get a new one.
I want.
Well, he got this one. It was But as you say, it's not. He paid something like. His son paid just under $3,000 for it.
Wow.
It's now worth £7,000.
It's not tripling, but
It's worth, because he's done bits.
Of course. But I would be. Listen, my bike cost me £900, and it's probably worth £700 now because it's a couple of years later. It's 20 years old and it's battered to hell. And I like it like that because it means I can leave it and no one's going to nick it.
Exactly.
No, I can leave it next to all these lovely Vespas and all these beautiful. No one's even going to look at mine except maybe to laugh at it. I'm happy with that.
The theft of the Vespas and things has gone up tenfold in the last few months.
Oh, it's crazy, man. It's crazy. People just rock up and pick them up and put them on the back of a truck.
There's two young boys who drive around on the local area in Wirral, and the police can't stop them. Well, obviously they can now because they haven't got helmets on.
Yeah.
And they actually stole this Vespa from somebody in Birkenhead. It's a £4,000 bike. And they're just blatantly riding round.
The police should have rifles. The police should have rifles for these kind of things and should either shoot the tyres out or shoot the lads in the shoulder. You try riding a Vespa with a bullet in your shoulder. Trust me, I've tried that. I did it in Nam. It is difficult. Only the best can do it. And if you do it, then you deserve to, break the rule, break the law.
Well, the police can stop them with the tactics. The psychic now, powers. They can hit, tactics. They can hit them from wherever now.
Ram them from behind.
Ram them from behind,
Jackie.
Basically. That's what I was looking for.
There you go. I bet you were. You're all looking for a good ramming.
I wish you all the very best for the new year.
Thank you, Jackie.
And I'm back online and I'm back listening.
Bless you. And I'm glad you got your voice back, Jackie. Thank you very much indeed. Ollie and Ross, stay there. We're going to come to you in a bit. I want you to have a fair crack of the whip. It'll be you first, Ross, then it'll be Ollie. 03444991000 is the phone number. That's an okay first out.
I thought it was fine.
Got some great voices in there. Some great voices. Good to hear Jackie's voices back. 03444991000. Phone call is free for most. Costs you pennies at tops. You'll speak to Sam. He will take your name and number. Calls you straight back. It's that simple. This is the Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee and Catherine Boyle. Weeknights from 10 on Talk Radio.
The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We'll get you talking.
03444991000 is the telephone number if you want to give us a call. You'd be very, very welcome to. What we do is clunky gear changes. We go from the light to the dark, then we go all the way to Ollie. Good evening, Ollie, you vicious, vile troll.
Hello, Ian and Kath.
Hey, Ollie.
Here's my beef with you.
Okay.
One of them.
Here's today's beef. We've met you. You're a very, very... Lovely. I'm not going to say handsome. I'm going to say beautiful young man.
Yes.
He is, isn't he?
A swoop of dark hair.
Beautiful.
Mysterious eyes.
Yep. Clean-shaven face.
Yeah, beautiful.
Your picture on Twitter, you got a beard. Explain yourself.
I need to redo that.
I was expecting a much, much older, and I'm going to say it, plainer man.
I was expecting a Bill Oddie lookalike. Yep. Instead, I got a dreamboat. What the hell is going on? Change that avatar. You don't have a beard. Although saying that, my picture's on Twitter. I don't have a beard, but I do have a beard in real life. Getting new pictures done. Me and Kath are going to get some new pictures done. It don't matter. It's a small thing. It's only a small thing.
I think... I used to have like a beard. I used to like try and hide my face a lot. I think that's part of like anxiety
stuff.
You've got a beautiful angelic face.
Ollie tweeted me the other day. I didn't reply because I'm not really replying to people on Twitter and loving it. No more Twitch streams from me. But my friend, I will be online at some point in probably over the weekend. Actually, not in the next couple of days because I'm with the boys. But over the weekend, I'm going to be online. I'm still into online gaming. I'm still into I've been playing what I thought was called is a game called Player Unknown Battlegrounds. It's like basically like Fortnite for grown-ups.
Uh-huh.
It's not got cartoon characters. It's not got magic cars.
It's not got snappy titles.
It's not got you don't build rubbish. So I was playing and it's abbreviated. So I thought I was playing, as I said to my 13-year-old nephew, I've been playing a bit of PUBG.
Huh?
You went what? I said I've been playing a little bit of PUBG. When was that? So it's the game Fortnite was based on. Oh, you mean PUBG? Why didn't you tell me it was called PUBG?
We did, didn't we?
No! No, I've never called it PUBG to me! My 13-year-old nephew, who for a moment thought I was the coolest guy in the world, now thinks I'm a jerk.
Well,
because I said PUBG.
PUBG. At least he didn't say PUBG.
Here's the thing. You know the terrible bland band, Blink-182...
Oh, yeah.
In America, I think they're called Blink 182.
Yeah.
And I think in some parts of the world, they're called Blink 182. I think that's true. I'm going to Google, what are Blink 182 called around the world? I'm sure that's true. By the way, a captain from Captain and Tennille has died. What was Captain and Tennille's big hit?
Love.
Love will keep us together.
Everything think of me whenever. We'll play that at midnight. Captain Daryl Dragon from Captain and Tennille. How is Blink 182 pronounced? Here we go. This comes up. In the United States, how to pronounce Blink 182? Here we go. The internet's going to tell us. Pop-ups. And accept. In the United States, Blink 182 is pronounced Blink 182, but a wave of
I will not go. I quite like that one.
A wave of confusion crashed over the internet when the Late Late Show with James Corden get stuffed.
Oh, man, yeah.
No, thank you. When you go,
was
you
a go, surprise
go,
hit.
Go and ruin another children's classic. Anyway, Ollie, what can we do for you this evening, please?
I came to respect the question.
Oh, yes, of course he did.
Oh, he's here to respect the question.
He's going to accept the chat on.
What was his question? That was
the question was...
It was Sally's question, we know that much.
Ollie.
Sam knows, Sam's tapping up like a bum lick. That's the point. This is just you doing your job, Sam. So nice to have Sam back. We've had to... Oh, what... Well, I won't read what you've written because that's incorrect. Oh. The question was, what's your obsession with Stephen Mulhern?
Sexy Mulder.
What's your obsession with Sexy Mulder?
He's a sexy guy, isn't he? He's like, he's always been attached to sexy things, like Red Shoe Diaries.
You remember
that?
Sexy
yeah.
Things.
That was sexy.
He doesn't age, that guy, does he?
No, because he's got one of those faces.
No, you're wrong. He's aged terribly. In the last, 10 years, he's disintegrated to his own face.
We've not been watching him as closely as you have, obviously.
Experience the unconventional.
Evening, boss.
The unpredictable.
What's happening?
And the completely unorthodox.
Exactly.
With rule-free Ian Lee. The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee.
I've got no internet for the last 4 days.
On Talk Radio.
03444991000. Sorry, what happened there?
I just speared myself on this.
Catherine just made an oof noise and I looked around and she was touching her lady parts.
I wasn't, it was my
Listen to this, I love this. She lived to the ripe old age of 122 years and 164 days. You heard this story? She lived to the ripe old age of 122 years and 164 days, despite smoking until she was 116 and enjoying her red wine, her weekly bars of chocolate and anal.
What?
French woman...
What?
French woman... Jeanne Calment became a global celebrity before her death in 1997 and still holds.
She's the one who said, I only have one wrinkle and I'm sitting on it.
Okay. her death in 1997 and still holds the record as the world's oldest person. But now that age is being challenged by a scientist who claims she was a 99-year-old imposter. Russian researcher Nikolai Zak says Madame Calment, as she was known throughout France and beyond, was actually Jeanne's daughter Yvonne, who assumed her mother's identity when she died to avoid paying inheritance tax. This is great!
Looking at her picture, she looks way older than 99.
According to Mr. Zak, he's a Russian. The elaborate deception began in 1934, the year Yvonne's death from pneumonia at the age of 36 was registered. He claims it was in fact Jeanne, mm-hmm. who died that year, age 59, and suggests Yvonne, her only daughter, started pretending to be her. He cites multiple contradictions in Jean Calment's interviews, biographies, photos... et documents to support his assertion.
Wow.
Mr. Zak claims Yvonne managed to fool the world over the next 6 decades despite being 23 years younger than her mum. But he argues that according to numerous testimonies, the person the outside world accepted was Jean looked 20 to 30 years younger than her age, at least from 100 until 117. He also refers to a poll... Oh, come on. He also refers to a poll conducted on Facebook by a Russian gerontologist, Valery Novoslev, which asked 224 participants to estimate, give or take, the age of Jean from a photograph when she was 117. Those surveyed did not know who she was, and the average result was 95.
Yeah, well, who would think that she was 120-odd?
Guys, that's bullshit. That's bullshit. I'm not buying that.
This is all HS.
He claims that in interviews, Jean reluctantly answered questions about her daughter and that the daughter and the mother shared characteristics in their behaviour, their liveliness, their gait. Well, they would do.
Yeah.
Mr. Zak also argues that photographs of Yvonne taken before her supposed death showed that she had exactly the same ears and nose as the woman who became famous as Jean. Jean, born in 1875, and Fernand, her husband, were the joint owners of a department store in Arles. It doesn't matter! It doesn't matter! It doesn't matter! It doesn't matter! It doesn't matter.
Wow.
It doesn't matter.
It does.
No, it doesn't.
No, it does.
Oh, it doesn't. Doesn't matter. Does it matter, Kasif?
Hello, Ian.
Does it matter, Brad? Does it matter, Jerry?
It matters.
It matters.
He can't speak. He's got Parkinson's. His brain doesn't work properly. He's saying it doesn't matter, but you can't understand it. You're saying it doesn't matter, aren't you, Jerry?
No, it's not.
Yes, 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 yes. Yes, I am. Does it matter, Kasif?
No, it doesn't matter.
Thank you, Kasif.
Oh, Kasif would say that. He's contrary.
Very, very, very intelligent caller.
Okay. Let's see what Kasif has to say about his point.
Go on, Kasif. Let's hear your point, Kasif, and make it a good one, mate, because I've put a lot on you.
Hello, Ian. Yes, I was last week, I just reading on Twitter that you saved an individual's life. And also, he was on today, of course. And just like to say, whenever you feel down, whenever you feel like you're a failure, whenever you have your own problem, just remember you saved an individual's life.
I felt great.
The individual has got, imagine if somebody saved your kid's life. I mean, the least you would probably hug that individual. And I mean, how much would you owe that individual if an individual saved your
kid's life? Would you give me £100 because I saved a man's life? This is what I want to. This is my next venture, is to go online. I'm testing the water with you, Kasif. I want to go online and ask people to give, they respect me for what I did, to give me £100. I reckon I could easily make £200.
Well, you probably could, with people who have a lot of money left over after Christmas. But I'm probably guessing not many people have money left over after Christmas.
Ah, oh, I should have done it before Christmas, shouldn't I? Balls.
Yeah, Ian, also remember, when you feel too big about yourself for saving somebody's life, remember to remove the stick from your backside, because you did lie about being attacked by an owl for half a year to the whole world.
Owls.
I did fall down a well, though.
Yes, he did, but you lied about being attacked by an owl for about 6 months to the whole world.
I did lie about the owl. The owl was a lie. That was a symptom of mental illness. What are
you listening to?
What you got playing in the background?
Is that Goldstein?
Me.
Are you listening to Talk Sport?
No, it's just my brother is on YouTube.
You're watching YouTube videos.
Let's have a look then. What YouTube channel's he on?
It's my brother.
What channel's he on?
What's his channel, mate?
He's got a bit shy.
He's on YouTube and he's got a bit shy.
Oh, one of them, is it?
Yep.
Kasif, here's the thing. I did fall down a well. I lied about an owl. I saved a man's life. Two out of three.
Yep, so I'm just saying that when you feel too good and too arrogant, just remember that and remove the stick from your backside.
Well, here's the thing. When I feel arrogant, I certainly do not put sticks up my bum hole.
Why are you so obsessed with this bum hole?
Why would I put a stick up my bum hole?
It's a manner of speech when, you know, when somebody's...
Would you remove the stick from my bum hole with your teeth?
No. It's a manner of speaking, Ian.
Put a stick up his bum hole.
Now take it out, otherwise we're not carrying on this conversation, and take it out with your teeth.
With my teeth. Yeah, I don't know what your fantasies are, but...
My fantasy...
He's not the one imagining a stick up someone else's bum hole that he doesn't know.
Open your mouth. I'm going to bend over. I'm bending over. Take this stick out of my bum hole, Kasif, with your teeth, now.
I'm not physically...
Do it!
Pop's cat can help you with that.
I want you to do it.
I didn't put it up there, Kasif.
You
imagined it there. Imagine it out with your mouth.
And it's a knobbly stick as well.
Yeah.
It's a knobbly stick. It's like a long stick you find in the woods. It's not a smooth. It's not like a broomstick.
So the wood that you were attacked in an owl. Yeah, the same wood that you got attacked by an owl in. Yes.
Yes.
Well, that was imaginary too. But you imagined the second one, which is sick.
You're a dirty pervert. You're a pervert, Kasif. You're a pervert, Kasif.
I never say that stuff.
You need to report yourself. You need to hand yourself over to the sexual authorities.
Immediately. And you need to hand yourself over to many different sections of the authorities.
You tell me which sections of the authorities I need to go to. There's many, so you tell me which sections of the authorities.
Yeah, well, you have already active mind, which...
So the active mind section? Yes.
Yep. So, I mean...
You are a sexual criminal.
Really, yeah, not mine now.
You just assaulted him with a stick.
And I'm going to report you for bum tinkering.
Really, Ian?
Thanks for the call, Kasif.
You're welcome. Thank you. Bye-bye.
And thank you for the stick. The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee
on Talk Radio.
03444991000 is the phone number. So, before Christmas, some of you will have heard, we took a phone call from a guy in a street in Plymouth called Chris, and Chris was not in great shape. Well, Chris is on the line now. Hey, man, how you doing?
Yeah, hi. Yeah.
I'm all right. How you doing, brother?
Yeah, I'm still here.
That's good news.
Yeah, it's been hard, and I did want to die at the time. But a new day, a new year, a new dawn, and despite more setbacks, my wife, ex-wife, getting engaged on Christmas Day, more worries about my daughter, whether she's going to take this new fella's name, but hey, I'm still here.
Well, gosh, that is a lot to process, isn't it? But you are still here, man, and that's the main thing. We've spoken a couple of times over the Christmas period. I don't want to, I don't want to pry too much. But are you physically all right? Because you did actually take a drugs overdose, and you told me it got very, very hairy for a few days.
It did. I was for 2 days. I was out of it. I was incubated.
Yes, yeah, I always get it wrong. I said incubated
for a day and a half, 2 days in ICU, and then discharged to a normal ward, and then self discharged out of the hospital. I've been to see the doctor. The doctor's speeding up the local crisis team to get involved, but I'm down here in deep and darkest Cornwall, and there is no that the budgets on mental health are severely stretched, and I haven't had the phone call yet to give me any of that support. I've just got to take one day at a time. That's all I can do. I really don't look no further forward than when I go to sleep tonight. And if I wake up tomorrow, that's an extra day.
Yeah. Yeah, you can't, with so many things, you can't, even plan a week ahead, 2 days ahead. You just got to get through at the moment. Just get through, you're right, day at a time. All you do tonight is get your head on the pillow and that's it. You can strike another day off. Well done.
Yep. I know you've been through some of this, Ian, so you know the roller coaster of emotions that I'm facing, and most of that's behind me now. My divorce has been and gone, and my ex-wife has moved on. Even though I find it difficult to let her go, 32 years I was married to her. And that's a lifetime and some. And from that side of it, that's very difficult to try and build a relationship or any sort of relationship with anyone else. And that in itself causes problems because my wife made this prophecy to me that. My ex-wife now, that I would always be a sad, lonely old man. And at the moment, it looks like it's going to come true. And
but that prophecy doesn't have to come true. You're still... I mean, look, you're 50. So, yeah, listen, I'm 45. We're old, man. That bit's true, right? But things can change. And things can improve. But nothing changes unless something changes. Someone said that to me the other day in a meeting. Nothing changes unless something changes. I thought, well, a load of old crap. But I kept thinking about it, and it's true. What it means is everything is going to stay the same unless you do something different.
Yeah.
And I don't know what that different thing is that you need to do. The different thing I needed to do was to get out of the flat I was living in, stop wallowing. You know, I'm not suggesting you're wallowing, but this was me. Stop wallowing in the failure of my marriage and start taking steps to create a home where I could feel happy, where I could bring my kids. Start. I had to change some really basic things in my life.
Yeah.
Stop me wanting to die. And I don't know what they are, but I just wondered if you had any ideas needed to change.
I've done most of that. I've moved from London to southeast Cornwall. I'm in a lovely place. I can look out the kitchen window.
On one side, I've got fields with cows in. In the middle, I've got woods with deer in.
Oh.
And on the other side is the sea. So, you know, I could look out the window and I've got a panacea of loveliness.
Yeah.
But it's, I think really it's my 11-year-old daughter that's really sort of, my wife won't allow me any sort of access to her. And my biggest fear of all is that this man that my wife is now going to marry is going to be her dad, and I'm not going to be her dad anymore. And that's the biggest thing of all that really, really, really sort of worries me more than anything.
You told me that you got a card off of her this Christmas.
And to be honest, Ian, I know you've said to me, don't worry about, you know, that's not going to happen. And but I just feel that is the way it's going to be. And that's why I think I said, to be honest, I don't remember much of the phone conversation I had with you back in December. But I just feel that without my daughter, everybody's saying, oh, she'll come to you when she's 18. But that's 7 years away. I couldn't possibly wait that long.
Here's the thing. She might come to you when she's 18. She might not come to you. She might come to you before then or after. She might not. You just don't know.
No. But that's the thing that really worries me. Her life is controlled by my ex-wife.
Well.
Who is evil.
Well, now, I understand why you're saying that. I understand. Of course, I understand why you're saying that, man. Of course, I do. But she isn't here to defend herself, and I feel a little uncomfortable. And without wanting to break any of the confidences of the stuff that you shared with me over Christmas, because that was private. That phone conversation.
I have no secrets. No,
okay.
You told me to go to AA. I don't believe I need to go to the AA. I haven't. I had a bottle of pop over New Year's and the fireworks, and that was it. So
okay. Well, that's fair. That's your call. That's fine, and that's your decision. I'm not judging you on any of that.
Yeah.
But from some of the stuff that you told me, I can understand why your wife is pissed off with you and doesn't want to have any contact with you. I can understand that, but I can also understand why you, from what you told me, why you are ill, why you are depressed. I know the things that you saw at work.
Yeah.
That kind of sent you over the edge. They sent anybody over the edge.
On the table, so people know I know it's difficult to judge just on a phone call, but I'm quite happy to tell the people.
No, I know, but can I just say one thing, Chris? Just say one thing, right? I know exactly what I can say about my private life on the air that I'm comfortable with. Here's the thing. You missed this, and you were really surprised when I told you this, but you phoning us up became a huge, huge story. It's on the front page of the Star. I did an interview with New Zealand TV, all of this, New Zealand radio, all of this stuff. So I'm just going to warn you that this might get in the papers tomorrow, this phone call. So the things that I am skirting around, if I were you, I'd think really carefully about whether you want to say them on the radio or not, because then that goes in the public domain and people know things about you that actually they don't need to know about you.
Ian, I don't have any problem with that.
Okay.
Right. Okay. I worked for London Underground for just over 14 years as a station supervisor on a busy West End station. I was witness to a person under a train. That person was around their mid-20s, early 30s, which is the age of my eldest son.
Mm.
I saw that person on the track, lying in front of the train, completely lifeless. I assisted with the carry. We had a carry sheet. That person's carried off the track and put into a room. I had to stay there while the police searched the body. And then the undertaker coming down a few hours later. And even, I'm not sure if I told you this, Ian, but even to the extent they put his
his lifeless body into a coffin and wheeled it to our emergency lift. And it was too tall to stand in the lift. So they had to put it in. It was too long to put in the lift, sorry. So they had to stand it on its head. And one of the undertakers made the joke was, oh, I hope you don't fall out.
Yeah.
And in my sort of thinking about it logically, obviously that's the way they dealt with
yeah,
that situation. But that's the first time I'd ever been involved in anything
yeah.
like that. And it had such a detrimental effect on me that I just started drinking heavily. And it got to the stage where I was drinking a bottle of vodka a day. And I'm not proud of that fact. But that's what I did. I drank a bottle of vodka a day, and it was the only way to be able to deal with the whole situation that was in front of me. Now, my wife couldn't quite handle that because she had her own business to run. She runs a business from home, which involves children. So she thought I was a bit dodgy, and quite rightly so. If you can understand that,
you don't want a drunk around kids.
No, of course.
You get that, don't you? Of course you do.
No, absolutely. Yeah. I got all that. But it was being shut away at a cabin at the end of the garden from 8 in the morning till probably 6 o'clock at night. And it was listening to music and, say, drinking a bottle of vodka, sleeping an awful lot. And that was my life for the best part of probably 2.5 years.
Yeah.
Until London Underground finally, in their wisdom, decided to dismiss me. That previously, as I explained to you before, that involved going to a rehab, which I lasted 10 days at, and then I took an overdose. Spent a night in a hospital in Weston-super-Mare. Transferred back to Sidcup, where I spent another 2 months in hospital, and that's been my life ever since. And to be honest, I know I need help, but because going back to what I said earlier, Cornwall Council is so severely strapped for cash that we're ordinarily in London, you are committed, what they call sections.
Mm.
And in London, I would have been sectioned months and months ago, years ago maybe. But in Cornwall, they don't do that. They send you home. They send their little home treatment team round for 3 days, and then you're left to get on with it. And you're still fighting your demons. And every day, I'm fighting my demons. And that's always going to be. I can't honestly see any way out of that other
yes.
than suicide. I know it's a horrible thing to say, and it's not an easy thing to do. But at the time, it does feel easy.
But here's the thing: I know a few people whose one of their parents has committed suicide. You know that screws the kids up. You know that's a horrible legacy. That's a horrendous legacy to leave a kid.
Yeah. I understand that, and everybody has said to me. And while I was in hospital in Plymouth for those 3 days in the ICU, a couple of the nurses said to me, "You do realise that you're going to screw your life." Your daughter's life up, and I really, it feels like me. It's a short-term pain for a long-term gain because I'm just going to be a drain on society. I'm going to be a drain on everybody.
But I know you can't hear this, but that's not true. You're not draining on anybody. You're not well. That's where you are at the moment. You're ill. You're as much of a drain as people with cancer are a drain. You know, it's not their fault.
No,
Well, I just feel it is my fault.
I know you feel that, but I'm telling you, your head is lying to you about quite a few things. But that's definitely the biggest lie it's telling you at the moment.
Yeah.
No one is going to benefit from you dying. No one's going to benefit.
I just feel that's the only possible way out of all this.
Listen, it is a way out. It is a way out. But trust me, man, it's the shittest way out. That isn't going to solve...
That isn't going to solve
anything at all. And that's only going to make things worse for everybody who survives.
Yeah, okay.
So we need to think about what other options there are, because there are other... You all right?
Yeah. That was just my carer. She's pulling her hair out. It's a sad laugh.
Why is she pulling her hair out?
Because what I've put her through. Because she's been with me for the past 2.5 years, ever since I came to Cornwall. She's been with me, and I've attempted suicide on three occasions.
Can I ask you a question that's going to really annoy you?
No, you never annoy me, man.
I will. I will annoy you. This question's going to annoy you, but I'm going to ask it. You right? You ready?
Yeah, go on.
And I need a really honest answer.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
How much have you had to drink today?
I've had nothing today.
Today?
Today.
Nothing?
Nothing.
How much did you have yesterday?
Nothing.
Okay. How much did you have on Boxing Day when I spoke to you?
I think on Boxing Day after Christmas, I think I'd had a few tinnies.
You told me you'd had a box of wine.
Well, all right, okay, Ian. Perhaps I had a box of wine. I don't remember what happened today, yesterday or tomorrow.
Okay.
The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We'll get you talking.
And this is where we disagree on, right? And this is where we did, where I say, I know it's going to make you angry, because we did have a little falling out over this.
We did, and I was most upset about that.
Yeah, well, I was upset, but it's cool. I'm not upset. I mean, it's cool. Here's where we disagree, and this is where we had a falling out, is, I don't know if you're an alcoholic or not. I don't know, right? But I know that the drink, this is the one, all right, let me ask the question that you didn't answer on the text, the few texts I sent you, kept ignoring it, right, and having a pop, which I don't mind you having a pop at me, it's cool.
Yeah.
But when you drink, does it make things better or does it make things worse? And be honest.
It makes things better.
No, how does it make things better?
It just does.
Tell me how you being drunk and you getting into slagging matches with the person who I can hear in the background, and you doing the things that you've told me that you do, how does that make things better?
Because it numbs the pain, Ian. It numbs the pain. And that's what I was doing when I was drinking after the incident. It numbs the pain.
Here's the thing. It doesn't numb the pain, man. It gives you a different kind of pain.
Okay. Well, I'll accept that.
Good.
But to me,
good.
It feels like it's numbing the pain.
Well, it's not. It's making things worse, and it's giving you Here's the thing. You're never going to see your 11-year-old daughter while you're drinking. That's a fact. You might not see her when you're not drinking, but you stand a damn better chance of seeing her when you're sober than when you've been drinking.
No, I'm not going to see my daughter if I carry on attempting to take my own life.
That's another thing, yeah. That's another thing to put on the list. Things that will make it almost impossible for you to see your daughter. Let's do a list. Trying to take your life.
Yeah.
Drinking.
Yeah.
Those are two quite big ones. So how about if we stopped doing those two things? Wouldn't that help?
Well, drinking isn't a problem. Drinking isn't a problem. I can stop drinking. No, I know you don't believe that.
I don't believe it.
But I can.
That's what I used to say.
Well, okay. Perhaps there's a fundamental difference between you and I.
Maybe.
That I can. I don't need to drink. If I'm feeling really sad, stop drinking.
If you don't need to drink, stop drinking. Prove it. Stop drinking for 6 months.
I have. I've stopped drinking.
When?
I had the last drink I had, which was, I think, New Year's Eve, when we cracked open
Dude,
the bottle.
Dude, that was 3 days ago! That was 3 days ago!
Yeah,
what happens the next time...
Stopping drinking, Ian, that's stopping drinking.
Yeah, but, OK, well, what happens the next time you get you hear some bad news about your family, or you get a text from me that you don't like, or, you know, a bus doesn't stop for you? What happens then?
I've got to not do that. And I believe I have some inner core strongness. The outside's jelly, but inside there is the person I used to be 4 years ago, when I used to be able to deal with anything that was thrown in front of me.
Yeah, that person is there. That person is in there.
An escalator, somebody, there was a signal failure. Anything happened.
Dude, Chris, that person is there. Otherwise, I wouldn't be talking to you. That person is in there.
Yeah, that's right. But right inside, Ian, the outside is now jelly.
Right, OK. Well, then, how do we get that inner person out?
I don't know, and that's the
I know the start, but I tell you it, and you get angry with me.
I won't get angry with you.
The start is you've got to stop drinking, and you've got to accept that you've got a drink problem.
As I said, Ian, listen, I have the last drink I had was on New Year's Eve.
3 days ago. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
All right.
So I have no intention as I lay in this bed here now talking to you, I have no intention of drinking anymore.
Okay.
And
all right,
that's
good. All right, well, I hope that I pray for your sake that that's true.
And that's it. But I can't say I'm not going to try and take my life again.
Okay. Well, that's a different
because
thing.
Because that seems to be my default.
Hey, well, you know, every time you tried to take your life.
Yeah.
Had you been drinking then?
No. And
so you did it completely stone cold sober each time.
Absolutely.
Gosh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely. And I very very vague memories of the. That night in December, but I'm 99% sure I hadn't had a drink then either.
Hang on a minute. And I don't want to keep pushing the point because you know there are other issues at stake. But I'm 100% sure I didn't have a drink yesterday. I'm 100% sure I didn't have a drink the night that you tried to. I'm 100% sure. I've never been 99% sure.
Well,
I would know.
Be.
You went through a lot. I know, and I'm not having a go at you. I want you to stay alive, and I want you to be happy, and I want you to have everything that you are entitled to. But I know, and again, I'm specifically not saying two things. And I actually, do you know what? I think it's for your own good if you don't mention these two things. But I know two specific things that you have done whilst pissed that indicate to me. That drinking is a problem and drinking makes you angry.
It does make me angry, yes, it does.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that's not good.
No, it's not good.
And I won't mention I know the two things.
No, yeah, don't mention them. Because we know. I know it, you know it, and we're the only people that need to know. Everyone else can get stuffed.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's it. Yes, and you're right.
All right.
And that's one of the reasons...
Yeah.
Why I don't want to drink anymore.
Good. All right. Well, let's forget the drink thing now, for now, because I don't want to keep badgering you, because I know it annoys you, and I'm kind of glad it annoys you.
Man, you're not annoying me. You've been a good friend to me, and I took it when you gave me your personal number that I could actually... You don't know me. I know you other than on the radio station, but you were a friend I could talk to when I'm feeling really desperate. I can ring and say, Ian, just give me some advice, please.
Well, I don't know about advice, but I can certainly share my experience, and I can possibly make a few suggestions. I wouldn't call it advice because I'm not qualified.
No,
but I can share my experience where there's been a similarity in terms of struggling, and I can make some suggestions, and that is all it will ever be. I will never tell you what to do.
No, I appreciate that.
I will never insist you do something. And also, as well, here's the thing I have to say, Chris.
Yeah.
Sometimes I'm not going to take your call.
No.
You know, when I spoke to you on Christmas Eve, Boxing Day, I was trying to fix everything for you. And I did speak to someone from Alcoholics Anonymous saying, I'm speaking to this bloke and I'm in recovery and da-la-la-la. Yeah. And he said to me, he said, dude, you can't fix him.
You can't fix him. Now, whether it's alcohol or mental health or whatever, he said you can't fix him. You can be there for him, but you are powerless over him, you. He has to make his own decisions. And that's why that night I kind of backed away slightly after I've been trying to find you a hotel to get out of what I thought was a toxic environment and tried to find you somewhere to stay. Here's the thing. You were drunk. I was trying to find you a hotel. The only place I could find was a room above a pub. Imagine the carnage. The carnage. And also, I've got to protect myself a little bit because it was the first... I'd only just got my kids home and yeah, I hadn't seen course. My kids. And so I... So, listen, there will be times when I won't answer your phone call or if... You know, I feel that you're being aggressive or, you know, I feel that there is a danger of me getting sucked into something that's not healthy for me. I'm going to back away a little bit. Doesn't Absolutely mean I don't not. Love you. Doesn't mean I want you to go and kill yourself. Doesn't mean I want you to drink. It just means I'm protecting myself, and I know you appreciate that.
Listen, I understand that. I fully understand that. But what I need is really just somebody that doesn't know me, somebody that's not a close friend to me, because I've got friends that are very close to me and they're giving me all sorts of advice, but I need somebody who doesn't know me and somebody I don't know that well other than on the radio station as much as everybody else knows them. I know you can't give me advice as such, but you can give me some suggestions how I can deal with this and things like that, and that would be invaluable to me.
Right. Don't die. That's my suggestion tonight. Do not die.
No.
Chris, take care, brother. It's nice to speak to you. We will speak again soon, OK?
Yeah, we will do. Thanks.
Hang in there, man. Take care. Yeah. Thank you.
Cheers. Thanks for that.
Thank you. Bye-bye. The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee on Talk Radio. 03444991000 is the telephone number.
I have a vibrator.
Show off, so do I. Let's go to Johnny. Good evening, Johnny.
Hello?
Hello, is that Johnny?
How's it going, mate? Okay?
That's none of your business. It's good. Yes, ma'am. Yeah. What have you got for us?
You all right, mate, yeah?
Yeah, hello?
Yeah, so basically, right, my opinion is, right, is how come, right, basically... What's the deal with the white man guilt?
What's the deal with the what?
The white man guilt.
Well, I don't know. Why have you got white man guilt?
Well, all over. Like, basically, all
why,
over.
Why have you got white man guilt all over, man? Let it go. Don't feel guilty. What are you feeling guilty about?
Well, all over the United Kingdom. It's basically, right, can I tell you something, right? I was in my mother's way the other day, right? And I seen on the big wall, right, it had Gay History Month, LGB History Month.
You can get white gays.
Can you name anything else? Can you name that one, sir?
You can definitely get white gays. I'm sure I met one once. I'm sure I met a white gay guy once.
I'll
hear you out for a little bit longer, even though, and this is what a good guy I am, even though you're spouting utter shite... I will hear you out for a little bit longer. Well, you've just brought up Gay Week and Gay History Month, and what's that got to do with white guilt?
So sorry. Can you just hear me out one sec? So I was in my mother's work the other week, right? And I walked into the hall, and she works in the Chamber of Commerce, right? And I seen on the wall it said LGB History Month.
I know what your question's going to be, and I've got the answer already. But I'll let you do your build up, and then I'm going to hit you with a Zammo, which you probably won't get because you're thick. But go on.
Thank you very much.
You're very welcome, Johnny. Very well. It's always good to educate people.
Cheers, buddy. It said Black History Month, yes. LGB History Month,
yes.
Asian History Month.
Yeah.
And I was looking at it. I thought,
Where's the White History Month?
I thought, where's the white? Where's the white man history month?
I can answer. Johnny, let me answer. No, Johnny. Johnny. No, I won't. Johnny. 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 Hello.
I always hear Black History Month.
Okay.
What about the white man history month?
Okay.
What's wrong with me saying I'm a strong white man?
You don't even know what colour you are? Gosh, you're confused. I can answer the question. No. I can tell you when White History Month is.
Okay, what is it, buddy? What is it?
I tell you when it is. Should I tell you when White History Month is?
Do you think we should have a white?
We have a White History Month. Do you want me to tell you when it is?
Of course you can, bud. What is it?
It's January.
So.
And it's February.
Elaborate.
And it's March. And it's April. And it's May. And it's June. And it's July. And it's August. And it's September. And it's October. And it's November. And it's December. It's every month is White History Month.
What are you on about? What planet are you living on?
Every month, every day is white history.
I am not racist at all.
But
my girlfriend's black. I
don't believe you. But go on.
You don't. Okay, but the thing is, in my opinion, like,
yes. People like you don't deserve an opinion.
Where is the white history?
Johnny, I've literally just told you. Every day is White History Day. Every day.
How do you find that?
Because we live in a society where the white culture dominates everything. And for a long time, it dominated it at the expense of every other form of culture, whether that be black or Asian or gay or whatever. But luckily, let me finish this. But luckily, we are now entering a time, and here's the thing that's going to upset you. We're only just entering the time. There's more to do. Where we go, hang on, it's not just white people.
Can I be proud to be a white man?
Yeah, of course
you can. Can I be proud to be a white man?
Yeah, if you want to. Yeah, sure. Why not? Go on. Who's stopping you?
Are you proud to be a white man?
Not really, no.
Why not?
But I'm not proud to be English.
Proud to be English.
No.
Your grandfather and your great grandfather died, and your European grandfathers died for this country, and you're not proud.
My granddad didn't die for this country. He died in a care home with Alzheimer's. But I take your point. I'm not proud of this country. No.
Stop with it. Do me a favour. Stop trying to be the white knight. Are you not a strong white man?
I don't know what that means. Strong white man. You tell me, John.
Because I'll tell you what. I'm sick to death of hearing black people say I'm a strong black person.
And yet you're not. Well, say, Johnny.
Let me finish.
No, I won't let you finish because you're a thick.
Not me
no, Johnny. I've let you spout. Johnny.
No, you're not letting me.
Here's the thing, Johnny. Here's the thing, Johnny.
Here's the thing. Whatever. You're not letting me finish.
No. Johnny, you're off the air for a minute because you've actually had a fair crack of the whip. And here's the thing. Normally, I don't give idiots this much time. People can't hear you, so calm down. I'm going to bring you back. I did ask you a question, a really specific question, which you ignored. So I'm going to ask you the question again. I've answered your question. I'd really like you to answer.
I'm from the most diverse place.
Okay. I'd really like you. I'm going to ask you a question, okay? I really want to ask you to answer this question, okay? Who is stopping you saying you are a proud, strong white man?
I'll tell you what.
Answer that question.
I'll tell you.
Go on.
Right, we live in a society. We live in a society today where we can be who we are.
Yes,
is that true or not?
No, don't answer my question with a question. Answer my question. Who is telling you can't say you're a strong, proud white man? Who's telling you that?
Listen. I'll tell you the truth. Right, I feel bad. Right, I'm only 22 years of age. I feel scared.
Could you answer the question? Johnny, could you answer the question, please? I answered your question. I had the decency to answer your question, even though it was dumb. You don't know what the question was. I've asked you two times.
Go on, what's the question?
I'll ask you again. Who is stopping you from saying you are a strong, proud white man?
The left.
Sorry?
The left.
So when did you try and say it, and when did they stop you?
Well, basically, I was on Twitter the other day, and I say another one, I'm a strong white man, and I got castigated by the whole of it.
So they didn't stop you saying it. They just exercised their free speech as you were exercising yours, which is fine, yeah? Free speech is fine, right?
Well, if free speech is real, why is Tommy Robinson is getting hated the way he is?
Oh, because he's a racist prick. That's why Tommy Robinson's getting hated. He's a racist prick.
Before you put the phone down.
I'm not putting the phone down. I'm not putting the phone down. Because I'm not a coward. I'm not scared. And I don't know why you're scared.
If you're not a shithouse, you tell me what Tommy Robinson has said.
Oh!
That he is.
that he's a racist.
Oh, I will do. Calling Somalians savages.
Have you not seen that the I went to school with Somalians? Have you not seen what the Somalis do with it?
What did they do at your school? What did the savage Somalians do at your school?
I went to school in Chilwell. I went to school in Chilwell.
That's great. I didn't ask where you went to. What did the savage Somalians do in your school?
I don't like to brand people.
Listen, you've asked for an example of where Tommy Robinson was racist. I've given you one, and then you've agreed with him and said the Somalians are savages because you went to school with them. What did the Somalians do at your school? No. Shut up, thick lad. What did the Somalians at your school do that was savage?
Do me a favour, stop shouting at me.
Well, then stop talking at me and answer a question. Stop answering a question, you thicko. What did the Somalians do at your school that you are thick? You're thick. What did the Somalians do at your school? It wasn't that long ago. You should be able to remember.
Yes.
What did the Somalians do at your school that was savage?
They battered some girl because she didn't turn around to that she was a Muslim.
Right. Well, first of all, I don't believe that story. But secondly, if it happened... Hang on. If they all did it. All the Somalians in your school battered a girl, did they?
No, I didn't say all of the Somalians.
Right, okay. Can I ask, did any of the white guys in your school batter somebody?
No.
Never happened. A white guy in your school never battered anybody.
Can I say something to you?
Can you answer the question?
The Somalian battered the girl because he said the Quran told them
to. All right, well that's horrendous. But you're saying Can we have a conversation, John? Because I want to dissect what you said. Thank you, mate. I appreciate that, John. I don't owe thick people any favours. But I'm giving you a favour. I'm educating you. Johnny, here's the thing. I'm in control. It's my show, my rules. Okay, when I'm talking, they can't hear you. You're off the air now. You're going to come back on the air. But we're going to have a conversation, and you're having a very, very fair crack of the whip. Okay, so I'm going to put you back on the air. You said it wasn't all the Somalians, okay?
Yeah.
So yeah, you've extrapolated from that that all Somalians are savages, yeah?
Yeah.
And you've never heard of a you've never heard
I'm making No, you're mixing my words.
No, your point was that all Somalians are savages.
Why are you lying? I said one Somalian.
I must have got it confused when you said all Somalians. And you've never seen a white guy. You've never seen a white guy batter a woman ever.
Have you?
Yeah, I have actually, and I've certainly read about it in the papers. Yeah.
Can I ask you a question?
No, we're following this train of thought. So you're aware that white men have battered women before, yeah? You're aware of that. You know that because you're a bright guy. Yeah?
Can I ask you a question, bud?
You're aware of... When we finish this point, you can definitely ask you a question. That's a promise. But you
can
are...
I ask you a question, bud?
You can in a minute, bud. When we finish this point...
Listen, buddy. Don't try and pull me into something.
I'm not even... I'm in first gear. I don't think I'm going to need to get into second gear. I might turn the engine off, because this is embarrassing.
This is embarrassing, really? I think it's embarrassing to your country, mate.
Okay, whatever. I couldn't give a stuff about the country. Whatever. The country is a car
you,
crash.
So you couldn't give a stuff about the about your Queen really. And country, could you?
I couldn't give a stuff about the Queen, no.
So you work for the talk radio, which is from the United Kingdom, and you could not give a stuff about your country and your
not really.
Your
so, certainly not the Queen. I've had Prince Edward hold a door open for me.
Oh, so you don't care about that, no?
I thought it was very polite of him. I didn't take my hat off. Should I take my hat off next time Prince Edward opens a door for me?
So you're here for TalkSport and you don't care about your country,
I
no?
I do not work for TalkSport.
So who do you work for, bud?
Well, I don't need to give you that information, but I don't work for TalkSport.
Oh, that's fine. So can I ask you one question, bud?
Yeah, go on, Johnny, because but I'm going to get rid of you soon because you're boring. But go on, yeah.
Because I'm boring, because you're getting told, right, basically.
Yeah, mate, you are pulling down my pants and you are spanking my white body.
Sure, bud.
You'd like that as well, wouldn't you? Anyway, go on.
Can I ask you an honest question?
Of course you can, Johnny. And here's the thing, Johnny. Here's what I'm going to do. You ask me the question, and unlike you, I'm going to answer the question because I'm not afraid to answer a direct question that challenges my beliefs. So you ask me a question, John boy, and I'm going to answer it. Away you go.
Is right, lad. Right. So can you answer me why, when I was in my mother's work in the Chamber of Commerce,
yes.
right?
and I've seen all over the board.
Is he about to repeat the first question that he asked? Is he about to? You're not doing the White History Month again, are you, John?
So what's wrong with White History Month?
We've just gone round in a circle. All right, John. Thanks for the
can
comment.
You ask me that?
Yeah, I answered it. I answered it 20 minutes ago. Listen back to the tape.
Actually, my mum's here now, and she wants to understand why you don't understand
let me,
that.
Let me speak to your mum.
Mum, look, she's running away. Hey, mum.
Is this a real call?
Yeah, he's on loudspeaker. She's on loudspeaker.
Okay. Well, hello, Johnny's mum.
Mum.
Hello.
How are you doing, love? You're all right.
I'm all right.
Don't worry about Black History Month. Don't worry about Asian History Month. What we have White History Month every single month.
How do you work that out?
Can I speak to your mum, John? I'm going to speak to someone with some manners. Your mum sounds your mum sounds delightful. You don't.
Can I ask you honest a question, brother?
Can I speak to your mother, please, Johnny?
She's gone to bed. You sound like a nice guy.
All right, John. John, listen, you're doing impressions of old ladies on speakerphones. That's weird, man. I would suggest time for you to go to bed. Pull your plonker when you get into bed.
Get me on my main radio.
Thanks,
then.
Thanks very much for calling, Johnny.
Yeah, Forto. Yeah, whatever. Forto.
Thanks.
Yeah. Yeah, Forto.
Okay.
Forto, mate.
Okay.
You don't want me on main radio? So I'll take it out of this, mate. I'll take it out of this.
Okay, Johnny. Thanks for your call, John.
Yeah, so much, mate. Yeah.
There you go, Johnny. Just expose yourself there, dropping the F-bomb. Good lad. Thank you very much indeed.
The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
Let's go to G. Good evening, G.
Hello, boss. Sorry, no. Hello, boss! This is a
wow. G. This is G's mum. He's not a racist. He's just a very naughty boy.
Damn right, sunshine.
What an ass. Great, cute ass. Oreo golas. What an amazing last hour of the show this has been.
It's been awesome.
It's been one of the best shows. Good.
Do you know what I really, really enjoyed?
Go on.
Listening.
What?
Listening.
Oh.
Being a listener.
Well, you do keep
batting
in, don't you?
That's your role in this relationship.
Exactly. It's my job.
Yes.
Well. Your job is to present. Cass's job is to produce and co-present.
Double whammy!
Exactly.
She gets paid half of what I get paid.
Both ends of the coin! No.
She gets less than half what I get paid, which is the way it should be. Sexist Britain, that's the way it should be. It's the way it should be.
Sexist Britain.
Of course it's not the way it should
We're
be.
We're all racist, mate.
I really hate Asian people.
Okay, would you like to elaborate?
Did that go out on the radio? What have you got for us, G?
Dude, I love you to bits. You are my rock in a sea of infinite waves.
Right.
And I would just like to thank you for being there when I am at my lowest.
Okay.
And I need it perking up.
Okay, well, always happy to make you perky.
Dude,
and I'm happy. Do you know what? I'm happy to make you pinky as well, actually.
Whoa.
And purpley.
Tiger.
Good night, G.
Night, boss.
Let's go to Susan. Good evening, Susan.
Good evening, Ian. Good evening, Catherine.
Good evening, Susan.
I'm in trouble.
Oh, no. What now?
You can get a pill, I think, from the chemist.
No.
Not that kind of trouble.
Go on, I'm joking. Joking to one side, go.
I was waiting for the bus tonight to go to one of my little jobs, and I saw Francesca, the girlfriend of you-know-who,
yes.
Omar Sharif.
Yes.
Well, the main girlfriend.
Yes.
Bearing in mind he's got 10 on the go. So I said, hello, Francesca, how are you? Did you have a nice Christmas? She said, hello. She said, I was away. This lady has got a first-class degree in law, okay?
Yeah.
So she's no fool, right? You with me?
Just tell us the story. Don't keep stopping to make sure we're listening. So just assume
okay.
We are.
Okay, all right. So then, to me, she's always seemed a nice lady, you know. And so I'm saying, haven't seen you up there for ages. She said, well, I wanted to pop up today, but he said he was busy. I said, well, I saw him with a paintbrush and on the corridor, and he said, I'm busy, I'm painting the flats. And I said, why are you doing that? Well, he told me last summer that he was leaving. And he said it was in sometime in January. And then the last time I saw him, I said, what date in January are you going? He said, I'm not telling you that. And then he said, February, okay? So, anyway, I'm just saying that to you. I said to her, I saw him with his paintbrush, blah, blah, blah. She said, oh. I said, you don't seem to come up there much now. She said, well, I'm very busy. I go away. So, anyway, she said, oh, your hair's looking good. I said, oh, thank you.
Was it looking
what,
good?
What are you doing? I'm trying to tell you everything.
Here's the thing, Susan. Don't put in really dull, superfluous details. Let's just get to
it. All right. Well, I'm just trying to be accurate with it. Okay. So
is this Susan or Karen?
Oh, don't. I'm not discussing that. Can you stay on the subject, please?
Well, can you stay on the subject? Not your bloody hair.
Yeah, but I'm trying. And then and then I said, "Oh my gosh." She said, "What are you doing now?" I said, "I'm going to see a friend." I thought, "I'm not discussing my work with you." Do you know what I mean, Catherine? Why should she know? So I said, "Oh, that's my bus." And I said, "Nice to see you." She said, "Yes." She said,
"To see you, nice."
So I ran to the bus, and then I met him tonight, and he had a go at me. Right when I got home, he whipped the door open, and he said, "What did you say to Francesca?" She buzzed him. She texted him and said this, that, and the other about me. And he said, "She's coming on Saturday." He said, "And I want you to Francesca to talk." She said to him that I said to her, "Oh, when are you going to get married?" I said, "I never mentioned marriage. Why should I do that?" And she said to him, Susan said that I'm not coming up enough to see you. And if I don't look after my man, somebody else will." I said, that's wrong. That's wrong. I never said that. And he was in a real mood with me. And he said, "Look, if you stir trouble up for me, I know some people and I'll go to prison." And I said, "What do you mean go to prison? What are you talking about?" He said, "Well, just watch what you say. You know, I can't sleep now. My stomach's churning up." I said, "I didn't say those things to Francesca." Are you there?
Yeah.
What do you think about that? It's not nice, is it?
No, I think it's not nice. I think it's a really toxic situation. I think you shouldn't. You shouldn't speak to her, and you shouldn't speak to him, and you should
It's
your turn again. Sorry, sorry.
No, it's just I was just trying to be friendly. That's all.
They're involving you in their business, right? I remember telling you, what was it, last week, the week before? Remember this. Not your circus, not your monkeys. Let them get on with it.
Yeah.
Nothing to do with you anymore. Don't talk to either of them.
No, not now. No, not after that. There's no need for that. He was in a filthy mood with me.
I just said, I got bullied for it. You say the same thing, and it's like, oh, yeah, that's the plan.
There we go.
Pardon? Say it again. I didn't hear it.
No, it's all right,
Susan. You said bollocks. Sorry, can you repeat it, Ian?
No, I choose not to.
I didn't hear it.
I'm lucky. I'm choosing not to.
Catherine, what did Ian...
He felt like you were telling him off. Anyway, listen, you know what the plan is. It's time to stick to it strongly, because you can't win in this. You can't win. Because he tells her whatever, for whatever reason, she wants to believe it.
Yeah.
You don't want to get involved in their stuff. Whether she is isn't telling him what he says... Nothing to do with you. It's madness.
No,
stay
it's not, is
well
it?
Away.
I will, darling. And I just think how nasty. And she's a bloody bitch, twisting the words around.
Wait. Susan, is she though? Why do you believe him? He's a liar.
Oh, yeah.
true.
Right, so don't get involved.
No, I won't. I only said hello, but I was trying to be nice, you know, wish a happy new year and stuff.
He's threatened because he's got a lot of stuff going on.
Right.
He's got a lot of female entanglements on the go, and he's worried about them crossing over. Just don't get involved.
Right.
Don't get sucked into his thing.
Oh,
literally.
God. You know, I just can't do right for wrong. I saw her passing as I was going downtown towards the bus stop. I saw her passing and I thought I'd have a nice, friendly few words with her. She's done nothing wrong to me. I think she's a nice lady. I said a few nice words and it's all gone up the bloody wall.
Do you know what? She probably is a nice lady. You've got evidence that he isn't.
Yeah.
Right?
Plenty.
Here's the other thing, right, that I've learned later on in life. If someone shows you who they are, why do you keep expecting him to be different? You know who he is and you know what he is.
Yeah, that's true.
So leave it.
The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee on Talk Radio.